listening.
Morning, officers. What y'all, the second team?
We're the first team.
Yeah, we're not gonna fall for a banana in the tailpipe.
You're not gonna fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
It should be more natural, brother. It should flow out like this. Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe. See, that's more natural for us. You've been hanging out with this dude too long. I'm sorry, I'm just fucking with you. That's funny to me, sorry.
Challenge has been made for the leadership of Unicron City.
It's Unicorn.
Whoever wins the challenge shall be the leader. Whoever loses shall be the loser. And may never come back again. Agreed?
Aye!
I'm gonna club you like a baby seal.
Since you extended the challenge, Voss, I choose the weapon. I choose wit.
What?
A battle of wits.
Wits is not a weapon.
The tongue is mightier than the sword.
Bullcrap! We're gonna do this like men and beat the hell out of each other!
Under the code of the Bardadins, to which you are bound, I may choose the weapon. And it doesn't state what manner of weapon. Am I right, Marcia? I shall throw down the gauntlet and go first. A troll and an elf are walking down a pebbled path together.
Oh, no. Story problems.
The troll is carrying 20 pounds of pastries. The elf has a bundle of sticks weighing 50 pounds. Which one will get to the end first? You have 10 seconds. Tick. Tock. Tick. The troll! Because the troll would eat the elf! Wrong. Both. Because the elf is in the troll. No, it's the troll! Let's just assume that story problems are beyond your cranial capacity, and we'll move into the ancient art of maternal insults, shall we? Your mother smokes troll malarkey in a corn cob pipe.
Your mom
dated a dragon.
I win!
Sorry for the confusion. Precious and I took a little walk together. Hope I didn't cause any trouble.
Is she okay? Look at her.
I don't know.
Look
she looks
her.
Weird. No, her
look
eyes look
her.
Fuzzy.
What did you do to her?
No, I combed her and everything. I didn't have a cup with the fingers in it.
How is this okay? How is this okay?
Did you feed her rock and roll drugs or something?
No, beef this jerky. Is... Only beef jerky.
She's not supposed to eat for another
She's...
3 hours.
We don't know
knows.
What's inside of her.
She tells you with her eyes.
We thought she was in a well. We didn't know what... I thought a hawk had taken her.
You just... should just comb her
Don't,
down.
Don't touch her with your filthy hands.
Well, they're only dirty because you're dog.
She's bathed, believe me.
Oil.
We bathe her.
It's special
twice a week.
Okay.
I would spit on you, but there's food and I don't want to spread germs.
Oh, do it, baby.
Food, Randy. Spit on it. I don't care.
This is a fun.
And I think your music is old and has been it. You! Good, you fed Precious!
Yes, we did. We are not happy. Who is in
what
charge
is his
of
name?
You?
Who can I write
Who
to?
Who can we write to?
I have two flat-screen 50-inch
You know what?
Okay.
That's not going to do.
Office.
I will take the flat-screen TVs.
I will
like
not.
The flat-screen TVs.
Okay.
You're having a senior moment.
Oh. Personal attacks. Very mature.
Yeah! Yes, indeedy. Yes, thank you. Oh, thank you very much. Hey, everyone, it is I, the J-Strom. Welcome to the show. It's time for Nowhere Mulberry. and we're sans Steven. Boo! No Steven. But we do have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian.
Now my mic's on.
You know what's funny is I saw you about to take a drink, so I go, and we had, I dragged it out a little, but you
still. What it was, I had it in my hand, but then I noticed that my mic was muted on Skype, but then I looked down and it was muted on the Switch, so I muted it again on Skype so that I could flip the Switch without it popping.
But it's okay, Bill. We haven't been on the show in a while. You know, we gotta figure this stuff out.
I actually had to like set everything back up, and now I'm fiddling with my lights because I don't like the way the computer screen reflects off my glasses.
Uh huh.
Like so that whenever you see me, it's like you can't see my eyes. So I had to turn the light back on.
Well, great. It's great to see you again, Bill. I've got you on the webcam, and I can see you. That makes doing the show really cool.
It does. It makes it a little fun.
I just need to set up one, you know, so you can see me.
That'd be nice.
But unfortunately, Steven couldn't be here. He had a late flight, and it's just really sad. But oh well. I'm over it, Bill. I'm totally over it.
There's only so much you can do. You can't get too upset about it.
But you know what, Bill? Should I say Happy New Year? Because this is the first show we've done of 2013.
Yeah, I saw on Mixler it's been 27 days since the last broadcast.
Yeah, that's a long time.
That's a long break.
You know what's funny is I start to reminisce and listen to old shows. Like I go to the grocery store or whatever, and I put on my earbuds and I listen to like episode 111 or 112.
We've been on break too long when you start revisiting old shows.
Yeah. And I honestly, this is the way I feel. Maybe some people will feel like this when they get older. Maybe that's what I'm doing. But I'm like, wow, where do I get all the energy I seem to have on the show? You know, I'm like,
well, apparently the energy you have on the show is infinite because Adam wants you doing how many packs a year now?
Four.
Four packs a year? I was like, Jesus.
But I'm just listening and we're like, boom, zing, zing. We're bouncing off of each other. It's just like, wow. And
which was that episode 111?
Yeah.
Well, that's when we actually had the energy.
Yeah, but it's all gone.
200s. 200s is all downhill.
There's this great moment on that episode where you're starting the news and you reference something. And Steven goes, oh, that's like that, never mind.
I remember that.
And we just go, okay. And then you hear,
way to go, Steve. That's good stuff.
And it was, I started like tearing up with laughter in the grocery store as I was listening to that.
Steven would do those. He would pull those like really awkward transitions without a transition.
Yeah. It'd be,
I chalk it up to CPAP head. No, or he still had sleep apnea.
That's another
CPAP.
When I listen to that old episode, I can hear Steven breathing the whole show, that's something that doesn't happen anymore. And I'm so thankful and happy for him for getting that worked out because we don't have to worry about that. You know, Steven.
I always thought it was kind of comforting.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah, it's like somebody. It's like that. I guess it's like subliminal. You hear it, but you don't. Well, at first you do, but then you get used to it, and it's a comforting sound. But now he's alert and awake and missing planes.
That's a great thing.
Or having late flights. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say he missed it, because he didn't.
Right. Aw, good old Steven. I miss Steven. I haven't seen him in a while.
Didn't you guys go to Tornado Terry's together?
Yeah, we did. There's this
that wasn't that long ago. I wish I could have went to Tornado Terry's.
It seems like a long time. But we went to this place called Tornado Terry's that we found last year on the internet. It's it's like a 45-minute drive. And it's a kind of a retro arcade. They have some newer games there. But you pay a cover fee, $12 to get in.
And it's unlimited play.
Unlimited play. You just hit play. You hit player one or whatever on the old games. You just play. You could stay
there. They're all in free play mode.
Yeah, we got there at 1 and left like at 6:30.
Holy crap. That's a long day.
And, yeah. We got stuck on the Rampage World Tour.
Oh.
For the monsters destroying buildings. And it was Emma, Steven, and I playing that, just we'd never die. You know, when you die, you just keep continuing, and we just played it forever. And I was like, I think we're going to do the whole planet Earth. And I swear, I'm like out of
I would have been
arcade
looking for
shape.
A stool.
Yeah. But I'm out of arcade shape. My arms were so tired and sore. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, my shoulders
are... You have to have a certain amount of muscle buildup in your shoulders and your forearms because of the joystick and the buttons.
We played that and Battletoads a lot.
Awesome. Oh, my God, is that tough. If people thought the Nintendo and Genesis versions were tough, the arcade is impossible.
Oh, totally impossible. Yeah, so the I remember the... Was it the Super Nintendo Battletoads or was it regular Nintendo? I can't remember.
I don't remember. I think the Super Nintendo one was Battletoads and Double Dragon. I don't know if the original Battletoads ever hit Super Nintendo. I'm probably wrong, but I remember the Genesis one a lot. Like, that's the one that drove me and my friends crazy.
There's a part in Battletoads where you ride a bike.
Yeah, the
and you
speed
have to
bike.
Jump. You have to speed, you know, you're on a speed bike and you have to do jumps at the right time. It's impossible.
And it's random. That's what sucks about it. There's no pattern.
Impossible. It was the kind of thing, we were throwing controllers down and stuff, pissed off. Yeah. I was like, I don't want to see that game again. I hate it.
Yeah. And it's just one of those games that if you can beat it,
you're a wizard.
You're high up there, you know, without the game genie, you're high up there.
You've got powers or something.
Yeah. You've got the power, Nintendo power.
Because the game, it doesn't... whoever invented it is an asshole.
I think it was Rare.
I am evil.
Yes, you are evil. Now, Bill, I wanted to thank everyone who donated for the Nowhere Mulberry holiday pack. Thank you for supporting Nowhere Mulberry. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, I do have to say thank you because... The money we did get that we split, it actually helped me during a really, really rough month. I had to have a root canal.
Holy
and
shit.
And that zapped me because I don't have dental insurance.
Right.
So all I have is what they call a dental savings plan. Uh-huh. So it saved me like $150 off the root canal, and it still ended up being two payments of $430.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so believe me, after that, I was like, okay, it's time to get dental insurance added on to my insurance policy. But now it's not going to matter because I have to wait 18 months.
Oh, man.
Or I think it's 15. I don't know. But anyways, it really helped because I had to make a $430 payment, and I also had my car payment, which is $430, and I was stressing. So when you texted me, hey, check your email, you have something there, and I saw the money, I was like, oh.
Yeah, luckily, you know, this week, like, three people have donated. So there's still people who, I guess, are doing, you know, technically, you don't have
catching
to do it
up.
On the holidays.
Yeah.
Maybe we should start doing it after
we
the holidays.
I think we need to start doing it in November.
Yeah, because everyone's broke.
Yeah, everyone's yeah. broke in December.
Yeah.
We got to get in there.
Because I know I'm broke in December. Like, you know what I do with money? Immediately put it in the checking account because we're freaking broke.
That's where mine went. Mine went directly into my bank account and directly to the dentist's office or the car payment, which another thing I have to do is refinance my car here in a couple months because my credit sucked because of all my student loans. That's one thing about going back to school. It's like they need to sit you down and go, okay, is this really worth it? Because you're going to pay about $20,000 for just your associate's degree.
Right.
And that's going to be debt. Unless you can get like a Pell Grant, if you're lower income, that pays for about half of it. But I don't qualify for a lot of that stuff because of my past earnings. So now I'm unemployed in about $20,000 worth of student debt. I'm looking at used cars, and because I have to move my dad around who's in a wheelchair, I can't really get a smaller car. So right. It's like I'm looking at used cars, and then I'm looking at new cars. So I had to get a new car. Wonderful. So now I have a $400 car payment every month, whereas I had no car payment because my Lincoln was paid off
right
back in 2003.
Yeah, we
so
dealt with the same
screwed.
Thing. Where we got a new car, and it was just like – Remember when we had that piece of shit car? At least we had to pay monthly on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. I wish I still had that piece of shit car. But, you know, the worst thing
I
have
that
piece
far
of
mine.
Shit car is never knowing if you're going to get where you need to go.
You know, the last straw on the car, it was a Ford Focus. Mm-hmm. I went to
Focus.
I went to roll down the window, and when I went to roll it back up, it goes... and the glass goes... like, fell into the door.
Holy
and I went...
shit.
I was like, are you freaking kidding me? No,
that's dramatic. That's awesome.
It was like, holy shit.
In a movie.
Yeah. And I was just like, I told Heather, you know, because we'd already, you know, had the radiator worked on like over the years.
You
like
have thrown
five times.
So much money. It's like the money pit car.
Yeah. And I remember telling her, you know, the glass broke in the door. We need to get that fixed. She goes, we're not getting it fixed. We're going to buy a new car. And I go, really? Can we do that? That's what we did. So it's better to drive a new car instead of an old one you're just worried about to break.
But with my new car, I had to settle on a higher interest rate because my student loans had my credit in the pooper.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like now I'm... Once you, you know, pay off the student loans a little bit and you kind of prove to them that you can make a payment every month for at least a year, you can get your, you know, finance rate back down, and then I'll refinance it for a shorter period and the payment will probably drop by like $100. But the wonderfulness of adulthood, honestly, I suffer from arrested development. It's obvious. I had shit childhood. So now in my 30s, I'm reliving my childhood. I'll totally admit to that.
You know, I watched the show Arrested Development, but I never thought about the title, what it meant.
Yeah.
And then I heard it explained what it meant, and I went, holy shit, that's me.
Yeah, I know. It's totally me. It's because I had a shitty childhood, because I had two parents that were at each other's necks from I lost my grandfather in 1985. I was born in 1979. He was like the rock of the family. He kept everyone together, everyone in line. He was our protector, our compass. We lose him to a piece of shit drunk driver. Now, remember, people, I do this every time that I'm driving. If you're driving in a certain direction at night and you have to slow down to make a turn, make sure before you make that turn to check your rear view to make sure some asshole isn't going to try to pass you. Doesn't, you know, because that's what happened to my grandfather. He went to make a left turn. Some drunken asshole was behind another car and was like, I'm going to pull out here, and slammed right into my grandfather, killing him instantly. Broke his neck. So we lose my grandfather in 1985. And then my family life just goes to shit. My parents, you know, my mom is now off going with another guy. My dad's, you know, my dad gets thrown out of the house. Like, my parents are at each other's necks. My childhood went to shit. So now I have my own money, and I want to relive. I want my childhood back, damn it.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's where all of a sudden, you know, it's like when my mom died, all of a sudden, like, childhood is over, and you have to grow up. You have to grow up and have some realizations. And there's times where I'm very adult and I'm very responsible, but there's certain things, like, Heather will say, you know, you have a doctor's appointment. And I go, I'm not going. She goes, what do you mean you're not going? I go, I don't want to go. I'm an adult. I shouldn't have to go. You know, and she's like, you're behaving like a child. And I'm like, yeah I know. I don't want to go to the doctor.
I've done it before.
I don't want to go.
When I had to have my root canal, it didn't hurt that bad. And I remember that Wednesday, I'm like in bed at 10 a.m., my appointment's at 2, and I'm just like, oh, I don't want to go. So I call them, and I'm like, something happened, a family emergency, I need to reschedule.
Yeah.
And they go, well, he doesn't have anything until next Wednesday. Oh, never mind, family emergency's fine, everything's okay. You know, it's really tough to come to terms with that because, and again, you know, you lost your mom. I lost my grandfather. My parents divorced. And then I was trying to kind of get my childhood back in my teen years whenever I went. And then I'm on summer vacation and something happens to my father where he gets sick and the sickness makes him pass out in a tub for days. He has an infection in his brain and along his spinal cord, and no one knows where he is. Like,
holy shit.
Finally, neighbors break into the house, find him in the bathtub, passed out. They take him to the hospital. Turns out the only thing that saved him, he would have died if he wasn't in the bathtub, because the bathtub, the water was so cold that it kept his fever down. It saved his life. So then I think I was 14 when that happened. So then my dad recovers. He's in the hospital. I'm living with my mom back home, but I am an absolute disaster, you know, because right. I didn't quite understand it then, but I had suffered from bipolar disorder. So I was manic, and I would go on these manic spending sprees with my mom's own money and drive her crazy. And I didn't know what the hell was going on with me. I was coming to terms with so many different aspects in my life
right.
at that point. And it just, it was after that happened, I kind of realized what was going on. I go back home, but in going back home, back to my dad, who's now in a wheelchair, I become his main caretaker. You know, I get way in over my head than I even realized. I'm thinking, you know, well, I'll just run away from my problems and go back to my dad. You know, that, okay. you know, I lose one problem just to get another. So it was yeah. tough. And then once you finally grow up and you get a paycheck, you kind of want to recapture those things that you missed as a child because of the shit you had to go through emotionally. And yeah, I'm totally arrested of development. I'm one screwed up dude.
Maybe that's why we're such good friends.
Ladies, beware.
We're kindred spirits in that manner, you know?
Yeah, I think we both had really traumatic childhoods. And I think, Jesus Christ, Marvin, can you breathe any louder back there? Darth Vader just showed up behind me.
One thing that, you know, about my childhood, I can lie and go, oh, you know, I had a good time. I remember fun stuff. But I can, like, remember things, and all of a sudden I'm seething with anger about things. I'm just yeah. like, oh, and I'm mad like it just happened.
Yeah, I'm 33 years old, and those things are just vivid in my mind. That's yeah. why I've had – I haven't gone to a shrink in 5 or 6 years because mm-hmm. I've had my bipolar disorder under control with medication. Mostly, you know, I still have episodes of mania or really, really bad depression maybe once a year. But I haven't gone back to a shrink because the shrink, when I talk about those things, they make me angry, and I get angry at everyone around me, and I lash out. It's like, I remember my sisters and even my mom were just like, dude, what is wrong with you? And I kind of like sat down and realized, holy shit, the shrink's dredging all this shit up, and it's just making me angry. I need to stop right. talking to him. Yeah. You know, so that's. Maybe I should become a Scientologist and clear my thetans.
It seems to work for some people.
Yeah. It, you just need hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, otherwise you'll be a slave.
Yeah, you'll be a slave. Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing that I love about...
Wow, we are really having a super exciting, wonderful entertainment discussion. Jesus, well, I'm sorry.
Let me just say this, Bill. The whole point of this show is it's therapy for me.
Yeah, it's therapy for me, too.
When we don't do it for a long time, I start to feel it. I go a little crazy. So, yeah,
absolutely. I get depressed, and then I kind of become introverted. And I think you notice it sometimes.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, where the hell are you? You're usually talking to me. Like,
yeah,
what the hell?
You notice it, and you'll text me and kind of pull me out, you know, again.
Dude, honestly.
I become very introverted.
Honestly, you know what? I'll get on the computer, and you're not an MSN. I'm like, oh, where the hell's Bill at? Who the hell? I have nobody to talk to.
Well, you know what? The past week, I've been wanting to talk to you, and MSN's been broken on my computer because it says you're offline. And when I try to send you a message, it says, you can't send a message because he's offline. But you're not.
Jason,
it was my computer.
Longer exists. Yeah.
Yeah, so I figured that out today, finally, that I switched to a different program. Some I can't even remember its name, but I switched to a different login program, and it works. So.
Access denied.
And I got to go see you Last Stand today.
The Last Stand, not X-Men The Last Stand, but...
No. Hey, you know what? I was really... I was not really looking forward to it in a way, but also looking forward to it because it has one of my favorite Korean directors who directed it. He did, like, A Bittersweet Life, and one of my favorite movies, The Good, Bad, and the Weird, which is a reimagining of The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. And he's just got a really good eye for action and horror.
Well, I was going to ask you, do you want to wait to do this in entertainment?
Sure, yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
You probably have your chart, and I'm going off on tangents.
No, I wanted to introduce you to someone, Bill.
Oh, awesome.
Hi, Bill. I am Robot Steven.
What?
Robot Steven's a woman?
Yeah, what the hell? Are you a man or a woman, Robot Steven?
Transgender.
Oh, okay.
Well, what form? Male, female, or female, male?
Let's see.
Are we going to confuse it?
I don't know. Let's see. Does it compute? Let's see.
Both input and output.
Oh, very.
Okay.
Frightening.
I guess anybody could be both input and output.
Yeah, kind of creepy.
That's a great thing.
Okay.
It is.
Well, Bill, we have some voicemail. Let's get into those.
I hope we hear more from Robot Steven.
So do I.
Transgendered Robot Steven. I have no idea robots could be transgendered.
Hey, Robot Steven, do you want to play some voicemail?
Sure.
Okay. Well, this first one's from Adam. Hello, Adam. Adam?
What's going on, Nowhere in Mulberry? Adam from the Bay Area here with a quick little thing I wanted to talk to you about. I just recently watched all of season 2 of The Walking Dead.
What the hell's that sound?
It was just one of those things where I fell behind on it, and it wasn't available anywhere other than having to pay for it.
I think there's a chipmunk in his pocket.
And I didn't have cable or anything at the time, so I just missed out on it. And we were finishing our house when it was airing.
What the hell? Is he there with Mike Keeley?
I just
watched it on Netflix Instant.
I went back into the archives on the
NIM website, and I listened to your guys' discussion about it. And one thing I wanted to say, I talked to Ross about this, and I think I have
a really good plan.
Because when I was listening to the season finale episode that you guys were talking about, this was right after Bill's surgery, like almost a year ago now, and when the farm was being taken over by that migrating herd, Jason said something like, why don't they just get a truck and just, like, run all those walkers, you know?
Oh, he's talking about Walking Dead.
Field.
I'm sorry. I had to start.
Something to that effect. And that's one of the cool things about Herschel's farm is that he did have, like, a great expanse of open field so you could keep an eye out on any walkers. And Jason kept saying, I feel like almost like we're watching Lost or something here where they would always leave these unanswered questions. And
where's Carl?
Things, and they're walking right. I mean, Dead I don't know the why shiz. They didn't have a better backup plan if something like that happened. But then I know that it's a show and that the writers have to do certain things. But some, I don't know, like Ross said, in those types of situations, people aren't always using their right mind and stuff. But I'd have to say that if you found a place that was as nice as
Glenn Mazzara got shit canned.
That farm, you would think that you would have a backup plan or a plan put in action. And one of mine, what my plan would be, I told my wife this too, if they got one of those big tractors, okay? They had a front loader on it, so like a big scoop on it. Those things have humongous tires. I think their tires are like almost 4 foot high. If they had one of those type of tractors, they could just leave that bad boy parked on the property, and as soon as they saw zombies coming or walkers coming, they could just fire that baby up,
Adam
head
needs
out there,
a hobby.
And just mow them down. Because any car, even I would think even an armored car, eventually you're just going to get stuck in there because the walkers would surround you, and then your truck or your car or your vehicle just can't take it.
Holy
just can't
shit,
muster
Adam.
Up enough strength. Eventually, you're going to get stalled somewhere, because if there is 100 of those walkers, you just can't get any, you know, you can't get anything going. But with these tractors, man, they're made to go on really, like, steep inclines in loose soil.
Adam, they can still scoot
around and go. And
holy shit, dude.
Even if there was 500 zombies surrounding that thing, if you just, like, bust a 360, that scoop on the front of it's going to whip around, and it would just totally take them out. So, and it's, you're sitting up high enough to where they could never get you. because they don't climb and they don't, you know, like crawl up
Adam
each other.
Adam has
like
what
World
we
War
call
Z.
WDS, so, Walking Dead syndrome.
You know, where you start
totally
thinking about it.
You just start thinking
got, like,
and it's diarrhea
cage.
Of the mouth.
And he just kept some dry goods
oh,
in
Adam,
there.
Oh, Adam, can I
he
run
kept
you
some
over?
Spears in there and a sleeping bag. As soon as you saw all those walkers out there, you could say, oh, okay,
4 foot
tires. Go in the cage. So you get someone out in that cage.
Have you ever
right
seen
away,
those little tractors
then,
where you're all sealed
they,
in,
you know,
like
have,
a cage?
Just have to be
oh,
on
you could
zombie
one of those.
Mode. Because the zombies wouldn't be able to reach through and get them. So they just that would be their duty for the next week or
you know
couple
what
days
mean?
Or whatever it take. They'd just be in there
they
with a fireplace poker,
ball
some sort
collecting
of like, long
spear, at driving
and just,
ranges,
like,
yeah,
jabbing all of those things
they
in the
can
eye,
drive
and, you
just
know, and
trip
killing them
the
all.
Zombies.
And then when they get tired, just sit down,
and
open
run.
Up a can of beans, you know, relax. You're in no danger of them getting in, you know.
What
and
if I
you just
you?
You keep at it that way. So anyways, that was kind of my idea.
Steven!
In Robo Steven!
That would be to do... Well, I know they wouldn't be able to find a friggin' gorilla cage. Like, I know that part would be tough. But I think that
what
if
is
they,
this, Lost Season 2?
If Maggie could have taken a horse into town...
Gorilla cages?
Or even a couple towns over and went
yeah,
on a mission...
Get
that tractor, then that would have really been...
What the hell was
you
that?
Know, whatever. They need to make a strategy game or something.
I
almost
am
like
programmed
Magic the Gathering
to kill.
For a zombie apocalypse so that I can give some of these good ideas some weight.
It's some good ideas, Adam.
Okay. Play the
anyways,
Walking Dead
right,
game.
Bye.
Play your own story. Be Lee.
Adam, honestly, fine. You know, I've done the same thing where I start thinking about how to survive in a zombie apocalypse. And I always come back to, you know, I've said armored cars before, but steamrollers... How
yeah.
awesome would that be? Just run over them?
You just cook them. Because
yeah.
they're zombie, you know, they're putrefying corpses. It would be like wheeling over already dead roadkill.
Right. That would work because, you know what, almost anything would work in the real world. Because in the real world, think about zombies. I honestly think that the zombie apocalypse could... Like, after watching someone like something like Zero Dark Thirty and those guys who took the compound, couldn't they get rid of a shitload of zombies with their
oh
training?
Oh, my God, with all that gear. What was with those double goggles they had on
yeah,
their helmets?
Yeah, there's no way we wouldn't just take them down. There's no
that's
way that
prize.
Zombies could take the Earth.
Yeah, oh, we could totally
the
take
helicopter
out zombies.
The helicopter has crashed.
Wait, what was that? What did she just say? I mean, he? What did Steven...
A rescue helicopter has crashed.
Oh, my gosh.
that does happen. And then if it's stealth, then they have to see for it because you don't want them getting any technology.
Right. Well, we've got another voicemail, Bill. This one, Pierce. Hey, woohoo. Let's check it out. And Adam, I love you, man. And I could talk zombies with you all day.
No, it's, what Adam doesn't understand, well, what we should clarify is we've all been there. We've gone on this conversation on the show.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But when you hear somebody else doing it, it's an entirely different ballgame.
We need to all have the conversation at the same
sickness.
Time. No, I love it, though, that he's just finished season two and then he starts thinking about this. Because I do
yeah,
the same
absolutely.
Thing all the time.
Because you become obsessed with it. Just wait until you start season three.
Yeah, I've convinced myself that I could survive easily. What I would do is live underground like Desmond in Lost and never leave.
He had a kick-ass vinyl collection.
Yeah, he did. And he had some books and stuff.
Yep.
And he had endless food supply, so...
Yep, they would just drop them.
Yeah.
That's
and
a place to live.
It would... That would work. All right,
he
Pierce.
He zapped himself through time.
Hey guys, this is Pierce from Indiana, and I saw you guys were doing a show tonight on Facebook, so I wanted to leave you a little voicemail. So you guys know I'm going through the old NEM episodes, and it was episode 119, I believe, and it wasn't the DVD section, but Bill was just talking about, maybe it was the DVD section, Bill was talking about recent movies. And he said, he was talking about Morning Glory. I think it's a movie with Rachel McAdams in it, I'm not sure.
Oh.
But Jason, right after
oh,
he
yeah,
said that, he goes, so what's the story, Bill? You know, what's the story, Morning Glory?
I remember
and
this.
And Bill totally
and
fell for it
going
and proceeded
into it.
To tell Jason the synopsis of the story, which cracked me up. And then right after that, Bill starts talking about deja vu, and Jason goes, deja vu, I think I've heard of this one before. And Bill again fell for it, and it cracked me up. And Bill, you gave the synopsis again, so I'm sorry for beating up on you, Bill, but that just really made me crack up. So I wanted to leave the feedback on that. But other than that, I am almost all the way done with all the NIMH old schools, which is sad, but maybe I'll have to start over again from the beginning. But I saw on Facebook that Adam, I think it was, on the Mulberry group posted that he would love you guys to do like 4 packs a year, which I know would be a ton of work, but maybe not 4, but maybe just like an additional one. I know I would definitely pay for it. I haven't even listened to the holiday pack yet, so I guess I shouldn't be asking for more when I haven't listened to the holiday pack. But
Pierce has a
I'm definitely going
voice.
To be listening to that soon, and I'll give you guys feedback on that. But yeah, I would love and I would support monetarily more packages, more NIMH packages. So looking forward to the show tonight, guys. I probably won't be listening in live, but I'll listen to it when you guys post it. Hope you have a good show. Thanks. Bye.
Well, thank you, Pierce. I appreciate that.
I love
Way
the
to
people
go,
love
Pierce.
Our
That's
package.
Good stuff.
Yes,
that
and,
is good stuff.
I hope you listen to the holiday pack and enjoy it. Now, our next voicemail, Bill.
I think we could maybe sporadically release shows throughout the year. You know, not necessarily packs,
I
but
really
donation
wanna do,
shows.
I really want to do that Lethal Weapon movie mini with you.
Yeah, so do I.
Mini movies.
We just need to figure out what we're going to watch it on. Like, do you have it on Blu-ray or HD DVD? Or
I have it on regular DVD.
All right, well, then we're going to have to both get the Blu-ray because it's cheap.
Right.
Because
we
want to watch, because I know the HD DVD is the full cut where it shows more of Riggs's crazy antics.
Yeah,
like,
I've seen the extended cut.
Okay, because that's a superior film.
Yeah,
than,
I do. I
the
love
regular theatrical cut.
I love Lethal Weapon, the first one. I could watch it over and over.
Yeah, same here.
Is it?
I even love.
Mini
I love the
movie?
Second one if what? They would have followed through with what Shane Black wanted, and just ended it there.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have made any money or enough. What's that, Robo Steven?
Is it movie, mini, or mini movie?
Oh, shut up.
That's true. Which show was that you kept calling it mini movie?
On all of them. Like,
really?
On the Back to the Future and Jaws.
Once or twice and you keep doing it.
Yeah, I go, a NIMH mini movie. And it's like, oh, you're doing a mini miniature movie? No, I'm doing a movie mini. And I just get confused.
I gave up after like 2 or 3 times. So I was like, just keep doing it. Keep going.
Yeah. So I'll try to get it right next time.
No one cares.
Hey!
Man, Steven has gotten really, really honest in his robo form.
And talkative.
Yeah. He doesn't breathe.
All right, Sean. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Mulberry. It's Sean in Los Angeles. Very happy to hear you guys are doing another show tonight. Another one of the last NIMHs before the entertainment landfill transition. I'm a little sad inside, but that's cool. Moving forward. Yeah, happy New Year to you all. Hope you guys had a good holiday. I saw that Bill saw The Last Stand today and enjoyed it. I'm going to try and check it out tomorrow if I have time. Looking forward to having some Arnold enjoyment, just some fun at the theater. I also think Bill can confirm this or not, or Jason or Steven, if they've seen it, if Matt Saracen is in the movie as like one of Arnold's deputies, because I remember hearing about that a while back, and I think I saw him in one of the trailers. I'm sure
he wears a red shirt.
Really small, but you know, since you guys turned me on to
so
now, I was... get giddy when I see
I'm not really giving anything
you know, showing
away.
Up, popping up all over the place.
Just watch
the
trailer.
The holiday pack was really, really good. I enjoyed listening to it on my flight home to Hawaii. In particular, the Jaws episode, because Jaws is
my favorite
film.
Come on, you want to lay me? Pass
really,
the coin,
cool how you guys kind of split up duties on the holiday pack, you know, with like Jason and Bill talking about Star Wars and Back to the Future. But then, you know, for the Jaws one, I remember hearing a while back on the old school episode that Steven loves Jaws, and so it was good to get his input on that. Maybe one minor criticism of the episode in particular is that there were kind of a lot of clips from the movie. And so, like,
wait, what?
I felt like half of the podcast itself was just kind of listening to the movie, which is not a big deal, but
how dare
maybe
you?
Just a minor criticism. Just
oh, my
so
gosh.
Not all, you know, love.
How much work Jason put into that?
For me, like, always, you know, just trying to spice it up. But anyway, I'm going to head off and bring dinner
I'll
soon.
I'll give you some
you
spice.
Guys, later. Looking forward to the next show when it comes out on Tuesday. Yeah, so I'll talk to you guys there.
You know what Bye. He was saying there is that you always give him a hard time about kissing our ass, so he was critiquing. No, Sean, go back to the way where it's all perfect.
Yeah, we like the ass kissing more.
Yeah, and I don't even honestly, I don't think of it as ass kissing. If they like the show and they're telling me about it, they're not kissing my ass.
Happy about it. No, I don't think it's ass kissing.
Remember when Adam told me...
Sean's just so pleasant a person that it's like it's almost disarming how pleasant he is. Same as Adam.
Right.
Sean's dulcet tones are like music.
Yes, they are. And, no, you know what you were talking about, Sean, about the Jaws clips in the NIMH movie mini? Is that that's the format. It's we talk about it, and there's clips from the movie. That's the format, basically. And I know
it
you were just kidding.
Round out the conversation.
Yeah, I know you didn't mean it, Sean, because you really hurt my... Hurt my feelings. So
he even hurt the Robo Stevens' feelings, and robots don't have feelings.
Yeah,
that's how biting, how horrible that was.
I know.
I'm not.
I'm
you know
crying.
What? We're done. Movie minis done. Over.
I'm crying.
Mm-hmm. Robo tears.
How do you cry?
Hydraulic fluid.
Why do you cry? Oh, Sean. No, thank you, Sean, so much for the voicemail, and thank you for listening
Robo
to the Holiday Pack.
Looking for the Blue Fairy.
Oh, yeah, you're right. The Blue Fairy. Well, at least you listened to him, Sean. Pierce didn't
yeah,
even
really.
Get around to it yet.
Yeah, I don't even know if Swiley's listened to him, because we haven't heard anything from him.
I
almost feel bad. Putting so much on Swiley because he,
I know,
he is like
him.
Our main source of inspiration. It's like we kind of put ourselves out there and you kind of hope that somebody appreciates what you do and then gives you kind of like detailed stuff. Like I really like this or,
yeah.
You know, just an interaction.
Dude,
and when
honestly,
he first started doing that, it was like, oh my gosh, I am addicted to this. And
someone,
now Swiley is our drug. He's our heroin.
Yeah.
Like,
someone
if we don't get our shot of Swiley, we become very,
cares.
Very, very, like, weary.
Swiley is the shiz.
Yes, he is.
Yes. I
love that guy.
Anyone who gives feedback and tells me about what they enjoyed about the show, I love. And you'll be rewarded one day.
Yeah. One day.
How many
virgins? You get free passes to NIMH Arcade.
Oh, yeah. The NIMH Arcade.
It will happen. I'm telling you right now. There will be an arcade movie center that is a NIMH center or entertainment landfill. In fact, we should just call it entertainment landfill.
We should. You're right.
Because it's going to be a theater and it's going to be an arcade and it is going to be a callback to the great movie houses of the 80s. We are going to kick the entertainment industry's ass.
Hell yeah.
We're going to be at Show West, hobnobbing. People are going to kiss our asses.
Now we have another voicemail.
Why can't you
Tucker
indulge
up,
me
baby.
In my delusion?
I know. I'm right there with you. We've got another Adam voicemail. He wants to talk more about zombies.
No,
though.
No.
No, I'm kidding. It's about something completely different. Right. It's about... the infected, like contagion zombies. It's not, no, I'm kidding. All right, we got another voicemail.
Well, now
Adam.
he's getting into kind of like the passage territory. You haven't
yeah.
read that yet, have you?
No, I have the
oh,
book.
Dude, I could kick your butt. The passage and the 12 are so freaking good.
Really?
Oh, my God. I was obsessed with them when I was reading them. Think he writes like Stephen King. His prose, his characters. Justin Cronin is a pimp.
Very like, scary, too.
No, it's not terribly scary. It's just atmospheric and post-apocalyptic. And it's like vampires, but it's a virus. And they call them virals. And it's just, it's so freaking good, man. I want you to read it so bad. Because I've been wanting, there's only one person I know that has read the passage, and that's my sister's, well, actually, my sister Shondell and my sister
like
Shay.
Like a viral video.
But no, virals as in like infected.
Too literal, Robo Steven, sorry.
Yeah, well, he's a robot, so.
Yeah.
It, literal things. But yeah, I want you to read the passage in the 12 so bad. In fact, I would do book shows on them. They're that good.
Really?
Yeah.
I kind of want to read the book to Warm Bodies of that new zombie
movie. Yeah, I just bought it on my Kindle. I really want to read it because I think it comes out next week, right? 25th, is it?
I thought it was February.
No, they moved it up because it's getting so much word of mouth. They moved it up a week.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I just saw it on the TV, on that their
Zombies
cable
eat pizza.
Wait, what is that?
Zombies eat pizza.
Oh, I think Robo Steven's shorting out, Bill. All right, let's check out this Adam voicemail. Adam?
What's up, Nowhere Mulberry guys? I am enjoying the crap out of these NIMH holiday packs. The Star Wars talk was awesome. Anytime
Adam is
you guys
smoking
talk Star
the
Wars,
pot.
I love it. And it's one of those tricky things because I was at the point where I was just like really not into Star Wars anymore, basically, because of how bad George Lucas was just effing them up, basically. And then when I heard this news, I couldn't help but get excited. And even if someone really did an excellent job of writing these films,
what are midichlorians?
It could go either way. You know, it could be one of those things where this is a really neat universe
that
has been created, and now we have some good content and some good actors, and, you know, we can just make good new adventures in this verse, I guess you could say. Or we could say, after these movies are made, maybe they should have just left it alone. Maybe they should have just left it with the original films.
Balonia, move
it was just a one-time thing that just shut while the iron was hot in that
Scroony
time period.
Scroony
maybe we should just leave it. So I don't know. But I mean, I think a lot of people do enjoy the novels. I've never read any myself. I know Chap Bill Trawa enjoys them. And I know, like, my cousins who are really big Star Wars fans have read them and stuff. So I don't know. We'll just have to see. But I do enjoy you guys talking about it anytime you do talk about it. Now, the Jaws podcast was really, really cool, too. I enjoyed so much just hearing Jason and Steven just fondly remembering and going over and talking about
I thought he said fondle.
It was really neat. And I'm right in the middle of the the Back to the Future discussion. And I'm really enjoying it.
It's
really good. There are specific things that have happened like the Huey Lewis part where Jason said that it's the guy from Die Hard. That was pretty good. I liked that part.
Thank you, Adam.
Man, there are a lot of little things that were said during the movie minis that I need to like write down because there's so many good things in there.
We produce gold. We poo it.
You guys a line and let you know that I've thoroughly enjoyed them. Well worth the money. I wish I could have donated even more, but yeah. All right.
I think it's mini movie.
Thanks again for all that you guys do and for making this awesome, awesome holiday pack.
Well, thank you, Adam. And I'm glad that didn't have the chipmunk in your pants in that one.
I just poured coffee all over myself.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Do we need to take a break while you do
that? No, I'm fine.
All right,
cheers.
Well, thank you, Adam and Sean and Pierce. Let's check out entertainment, Bill. I want to hear what you thought of the new Schwarzenegger movie. I can't believe he made a new movie, Bill. Schwarzenegger has a new movie. That's crazy.
I know. Isn't that kind of awesome?
That's pretty awesome. All right, entertainment!
Who is your daddy?
All right, Bill. What do we have in entertainment this week but a new Arnold movie, huh?
Yeah, an Arnold movie directed by... I always forget which way to say their names.
Oh, yeah.
Ji-Woon Kim or Kim Ji-Woon?
Back in the early days of NIMH, I would always give you such a hard time about that.
Yeah.
Because honestly, it wasn't your fault. I knew a guy in the heyday of John Woo. Mm-hmm. He would say Fat Yun Chow, and it got on my nerves so much.
Fat Yun Chow.
And I go, it's Chow Yun Fat. He goes, no, I think you say it Fat Yun Chow. And I go, what does it say on the credits to the movie?
Yeah,
just say
we
that.
In America, not Asia.
Why don't they just call him Girl George?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, Arnold. So anyway, that's what I was talking about. So what is the name of the director who directed this?
Ji-Woon Kim, or Kim Ji-Woon. Let's stick with Kim Ji-Woon, okay? Because that's what it'll say on the trailer.
And he directed what films?
He did Tale of Two Sisters. He did Bittersweet Life. He did The Good, the Bad, and the Weird.
He is Chinese.
No, he's Korean, South Korean. He also saw I Saw the Devil. All excellent, visually stunning films. Like, he's just got a really nice eye for action. I was disappointed in him here. I felt that he was limited by not only budget, but by studio. Like, he didn't want to go into a big action movie and go get in over his head and be really super creative. There are some really cool shots, and holy crap, the practical squib effects are brutal.
Really? Just,
oh my, there are moments that I don't even want to spoil with, like, firefights and gunshots and just splattering everywhere. I loved not seeing CGI blood splatters.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. I get totally sick of that.
There are so many practical squib effects. It was like going back in time to a 70s.
Have you seen Django Unchained yet?
Yeah.
That's squibberific.
That went beyond practical squib into...
Holy shit.
Parody of squib.
Yeah.
Like, this is more realistic violence. Like, when people get shot in this one, they don't go flying 20 feet through the air.
Well, that's the kind of movie it is. They're not going on realism there.
Oh, I know. But I'm just saying it's a little different. But it's some really good splattery, gushy, bloody headshots, body shots. Like, there's one point where they get an old Gatling gun.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but there are a few problems. I'm just going to point it out. Kim Ji-Woon loves goofy characters, particularly like in The Good, the Bad, and the Weird. The weird guy always has like a weird hat, kind of just off, you know, always doing. And they cast the absolutely wrong person to play the off
Let
character
me guess.
In The Last Stand.
Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, he is fucking awful. Sorry. He's terrible. He's just really... when he's on screen, he's trying so hard to be that manic, goofy character it just falls flat. He's just not good. Not good at all. They needed somebody... that you wouldn't expect to be goofy. Like, it was a little too jackassy.
Like, what movie are you in, dude? That kind of thing? Or he was playing a wrong energy for the movie?
He brought a wrong energy. He just wasn't good in the character. They needed a guy that you would think you would normally see in a normal role, but acting crazy.
Who is your daddy?
The best way I can describe him is he's the Steve Buscemi from Armageddon character.
Oh, yeah. He totally didn't work in that.
Yeah, that's what that was. Like, you needed a better actor to pull off a hard role.
Oh, like, shit.
So, that was my other major problem with it. That Johnny Knoxville is terrible, and that the direction felt constrained. Like, I was expecting more visual flourish, especially with dealing with a... I love how they always say, because this car's driving 200 miles an hour that this escaped convict is in, and they keep saying, like, highly modified Corvette, because there's all these, like, crazy moments the car gets into that you're like, that would crush that thing. Like, so they're always, like, highly modified. They're, like, trying to push it in your face.
Oh, it's highly modified.
Yeah, this car can actually pick up a Mustang or use itself to launch a car over it. Like crazy shit that would totally shit out of a Corvette. But you have, this is one of those movies where you totally have to leave your mind at the door. Try to ignore how bad Arnold's acting is.
Because is he a little rusty, Bill?
Say again?
Is he a little rusty?
He's more than a little rusty. he's very stiff. But there's one scene that he's in that actually really works. And I'm not going to say anything, but the opening where he's given a lot of dialogue, you know, he's the town sheriff. He's kind of goofy. It's a crazy town. It's one of those it looks like it was shot on an Old West set. But mm-hmm. updated. Like, there's only a handful of buildings, very small town. I mean, it's all set up for a standoff, the last stand. That is
right.
The...
Is it kind of like that episode of The A-Team where the bikers come into town and there's no one in the town?
Sort of.
Okay.
But except this town is populated with people that are off-kilter and don't want to go anywhere. But the whole setup, it's great. There's maybe like five people left in the town. Everyone leaves for a big football game. So the town's empty except for the people that occupy the cafe. So, yes, it basically is that episode of The A-Team.
nice.
But it's fun. It's fun. I think I expected a little too much from it because of the director being who he is and the
right.
films he has made.
Is it kind of like when John Woo made Hard Target with Jean-Claude?
Yes. I was gonna text you that after I saw it. But I didn't want to like spoil anything. So, but yes, it is. It's a director that is visually striking, but constrained because this
right.
is his first big.
Yeah, he can't do everything he wants.
Yeah, exactly. I think because he, I think Ji-Woon Kim did, or Kim Ji-Woon, Jesus, did one other English language film that kind of bombed called The Uninvited.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. But I think this is his first big action movie. You can see where he got to do the squibs. They let him do that. There's a lot
That's
of
cool.
really awesome squib work, violence, blood splatter, shots to the head, explosions.
Oh, shit.
I mean, it gives you the satisfaction. You
and
leave going, that was fun. That was a ride.
And it's got Peter Stormare in it, right?
Peter Stormare, who he kind of chews the scenery a little bit.
Where's Pancake's house?
Yeah, they do have pancakes. but it's a fun movie. It's one of those movies that you go for like a matinee.
Stop at Pancake's house.
I wish I didn't go to the Well, I went to the Early Bird, which is the first. That's where all the old people go because they get a discount. They basically get to go see it for free. And I'm going to pull audio for this next week. I didn't get to do it today because I had too many shows to watch. I'm sitting there, and I have a guy who I swear to God had to have the worst emphysema in the world.
Oh, shit.
Because every 5 minutes I'm hearing... but really phlegmy. And like the kind of phlegmy that makes you cringe. At one point out loud, I didn't even realize I was doing it. I went, holy shit, man. Like, I was that annoyed by it.
Yeah.
I felt so bad because the guy was obviously, like, in his late 60s, early 70s, lifelong smoker, emphysema. Like, he looked bad. And immediately, I apologized to him after the movie. I waited till everyone left. Him and his wife were still there. And I said, sir, I am so sorry. And he's like, it's okay. My wife used to do it to me all the time. She goes, it's true. It's annoying. But yeah, I felt so bad after that. But it's a fun movie. Go see it for a matinee or maybe
early
showing. Don't pay full price at 9, 10 o'clock at night. Too many people in the theater. You won't hear a lot of the lines because there are some good one-liners from Arnold. And they would laugh over some of them to the point where you couldn't hear it. So yeah, it's a fun movie. I hope to see more from Arnold, even though they do play up the old thing. You know, there's a couple of those I'm getting too old for this shit lines. Yeah, it's a little self-indulgent
there. We've had enough of that, huh?
Yeah, but it's good. It's good. And I'd like to see the prequel if we could get young Arnold because he has a whole backstory that sounds kind of cool and controversial in the movie. Kind of almost like you remember that Dark Blue with Kurt Russell kind of thing? Kind of that that storyline. But it's really good. It's, you know,
cool.
Grizzled old cop who moves out to the country because he's seen enough violence, and then the violence is brought right to his door, and it yeah. pisses him off.
So, I mean, it's like nothing we haven't seen before, but it's fun.
Hmm. It's totally derivative. I mean, it is absolute. There is not an original bone in its body.
All right,
but it's
green berries for breakfast.
And right now, I'm very hungry.
It's fun.
Cool.
I just wish it was a little more cool. You know, I would have liked a little. I wish that they. And I realize that Lionsgate, Summit, those companies have very limited budgets. You know, they. I don't know where they're going to go now after the Twilight series is over. That was their big moneymaker.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we can thank this movie being made on that, but it looks like it had a small budget. Like, most of the money probably went to Arnold.
Yeah. He bought him a jet, new jet.
Because one of the final scenes where the, you know, big showdown happens has really bad CGI backgrounds. Like, it looks like they're fighting on a green screen set. So, you know,
the budget, everything
they have is up there on the screen, you know, but it's just they didn't have a whole lot.
Right.
You could tell there wasn't a whole lot of confidence behind this movie.
It'll make money, though, because there's Arnold in it.
Yeah, I hope it makes a lot of money. I hope it opens bigger than Broken City, because Broken City just looks boring as
hell to me. Yeah. Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. The only aspect of Broken City that looks interesting is in the trailers. You see that Coach Taylor is the guy that Russell Crowe's wife is sleeping with.
So let me the freaking house!
And anytime I see Kyle Chandler, I go, I'll watch it once.
Yeah, I love Carl,
he,
Kyle
he
Chandler.
He deserves that, honestly.
Yeah.
But I'm totally not. Broken City is one of those movies that if it's on Stars or HBO, I'll watch it.
The
but
way
I'm
it's
not,
coming
I'm
out,
it
honestly
it.
Looks like a movie that they don't have much confidence in. They just are releasing it, and it'll be gone
isn't,
next week.
Isn't this like the time period that they start dumping stuff?
I think so.
Yeah, January, February.
Let me ask you this. Do you have any desire to see Hansel and Gretel?
I do.
It looks
only
fun,
because
doesn't
it? It looks kind of how Last Stand is. It's tongue-in-cheek. It knows that it's stupid.
Right. And plus it has Gemma Arterton in it, and I'm her biggest fan.
Oh, my God. So have you ever seen that Tamara Drew film that she did where she's kind of the girl that was the awkward girl but moves out of town and comes back and she's insanely freaking hot?
No.
Oh, and she like turns the whole town on its head.
No.
She is so hot in
Have
that
you ever
movie.
Seen The Disappearance of Alice Creed?
Yes.
That's an effed up movie.
Yeah, it is.
But she's good. Yeah. John dies at the end. Do you want to see that?
The trailer looks so bad.
The director of Bubba Hotep.
I love Paul Giamatti. I love, what's his name, the director of Bubba Hotep.
Yeah, what's his name?
I can't remember. I'm going to have to look it up.
Don Coscarelli.
Yeah.
His whole shtick is to make shitty-looking movies.
Yeah, and he gets good people. I don't know why Paul Giamatti feels like he's indebted to him, it seems like, because isn't Paul Giamatti trying to do the Bubba Hotep follow-up? Isn't he taking over the role for Bruce Campbell? It's like a different thing now.
I thought it was supposed to be Ron Perlman.
Oh, is it Ron Perlman?
I think so.
Take pictures on the shithouse wall, man.
But yeah, I don't get it. I don't get the whole, you know, I appreciate the Phantasm films for what they were.
Oh my God, dude, the early years of my life were making fun of the Phantasm movies, but in a fun way. Phantasm 2, when the dude welds the double barrel shotgun into four barrels, is hilarious.
Yeah. That guy, honestly, my childhood nightmares were haunted by that tall guy in that.
The tall man? Boy!
Yeah, I mean, that dude was just creepy looking. And of course, you know, in every trailer they would show of it, here I am, like 7 years old, seeing a ball with a knife flying to people's heads.
I gotta tell you something. This is the way my brain works, okay? The tall man was played by an actor named Angus Scrimm. And
that's
when,
a good name.
Vanessa and I used to do cassette tape TV shows. Like,
yes.
We would do Star Search hosted by Angus Scrimm, and I was Angus Scrimm.
That's genius. That's early genius right there.
Yeah, and I don't know. I wish I could find that audio someday, but it's ridiculous. But I'm Angus Scrimm, and we have people performing like Star Search, and
did
that's
you
what
know,
we did.
This here is a totally freaking weird-ass fact that I have in my head. Probably learned from Wikipedia at some point. He used to write the liner notes for albums.
Angus
like he
Scrimm?
Actually won a Grammy for his liner notes.
Angus Scrimm?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Like, he would write the LP liner notes for, like, Frank Sinatra or the Beatles or...
Holy
shit. God. Let me look it up real quick.
That's awesome. I love Angus Scrimm, but...
Yeah, here on Kansas City, written... He also wrote liner notes for many LPs and CDs from ranging artists from Frank Sinatra, the Beatles, Arthur Rubinstein, Itzhak Perlman, and won a Grammy... for his liner notes. He did it under a pseudonym, Rory Guy.
That is yeah. So crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there is a nutty fact for the tall man. And he wore platform shoes to appear even taller.
Boy.
Because he was 6'4", and the platform made him even bigger.
One of these days, we need to do a show on Phantasm, because it's the most confusing movie I've ever seen.
He had a role, a reoccurring role as an SD6 agent on Alias?
Yes, I do remember that.
I don't remember that at all.
He's awesome. Bill, I want to ask you, you know how in this day and age we get a lot of creepy horror movies coming out left and right? What about this new one called Mama? Does it look creepy?
I honestly don't care. I am not a horror person. I even watched the short that it was inspired by, and I was like, wait, that's it? Like, I don't get scared by movies like that.
You know, the scariest movie I saw recently was The Grey with Liam Neeson. Real world shit scares me.
That wasn't scary as much as unnerving, and it gave me nightmares.
That was unnerving as hell, and I wanted to leave the theater. I've seen people go, oh, it's one of my top films of the year. I'm like, what are you nuts? That movie scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, I don't
it
enjoy
well
stuff
made,
like that.
It's scary.
I don't like sitting down and just being stressed out. My life is stressful enough. When I go to sleep... My dreams are stressful. I don't want to watch a movie that is going to stress me out and
right.
give me even more stressful dreams. I have enough shit to deal with.
Like, you know, a good example of a movie that makes me feel good and I love life and everything is Unicorn City, Bill.
Yeah.
Discovered
yeah,
on Netflix.
Something funny, like life-affirming. It's a really charming, fun movie that you can tell they had a blast making.
It was a pleasant surprise just scrolling on the Netflix thing, trying to watch a movie, and I saw this goofy-ass picture of...
I saw the same thing, and I was just like, what is this crap? And then you told me like a day or two later to watch it, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like this guy tries to build a utopia for gamers, you know, RPG players. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay, because I thought it meant video games. But when the opening credits start out and it's all the D&D dice and stuff, mm-hmm. and they're drawing, like, maps or dungeons, I was like, oh, okay, I'm totally into this. And
yeah, that's when you know – I've never – we've talked about the whole D&D thing. I've never had – creative enough friends to want to sit down and play it. Plus, it was drilled into my head that it would steal my soul.
See, I tried to play it, and I owned the game. I had friends who played it, but I honestly hid the fact that I didn't understand what the hell was going on. I was just, Jason, you roll now. Oh, okay. And you roll, and you're like, okay. I just didn't understand what the hell was going on, mm-hmm. but I loved the concept of it.
I've always wanted to play the game with a group of people, and I was going to. There's a comic shop north of me, a couple miles, called Comic Shop Plus in Newark, Ohio. And I even follow them on Facebook. And I went there one night. They have these big gaming nights where it's like beginner's classes and all that stuff. And I went there, and I was totally freaked out by the people that were there. I stepped into another realm of geekdom that I was uncomfortable in.
Yes.
Like, them obsessing over their Magic the Gathering cards, and the guys were standing at the counter, like, dealing out their cards, deciding what they need to put in their packs.
What for a this, bunch of for losers. This certain,
yeah, for this certain battle. And I was just like, I am in way over my head. I'll leave now.
Yeah.
Like, it scared me.
Yeah, I'm totally with you, man. I don't get it.
Yeah, I can't. I would love to sit down and play D&D with you and Steven, someone else. Maybe get that Rick Gutierrez from the United States of Geekdom to be the dungeon master and, like, be our guide.
The last time I played Dungeons & Dragons, Bill, I was in sixth grade.
Played it was never, but I own the starter kit. I bought it. When I went to that comic book store, I wasn't leaving without it, even if these nerds scared the shit out of me. So I own it. It's there. It's in my house. It's a soul-sucking abyss of a red box.
You're frozen.
Okay.
It's a little chilly.
Oh, I get it. You're frozen, Bill. Remember that LARPing video?
Oh, lightning bolt. Lightning bolt. Sleep. Yeah.
You're frozen.
I did do that in Unicorn City. There were a couple tips of the hat to, like, the viral stuff.
Yeah.
And it was very funny. And it was really creative. I loved how the guy got together with his best friend and was like, let's create this world. Let's create actual beasts that they have to fight. And they, like, I mean, it,
nerds.
Yeah, it was adorable, and it was charming and funny. And
I love that Kevin Weisman was in it, and he would just beat the shit out of them all the time.
Yeah, yeah, and also Uncle Rico.
Yes.
What? I can't remember his name.
Yeah, he's a did you like that in the intro? I had to put some of that in there.
Yeah.
I love that.
That guy picks some of the craziest roles.
That Sasquatch Gang, Napoleon Dynamite, he's a genius at picking those.
Yeah, he is.
And this is one of my favorite lines in the movie.
I'm going to club you like a baby seal.
That's so wrong.
And the love interest in the movie, Marsha.
I am in love with her.
She's so adorable in that movie.
She's so cute, and just, I'm in love with her. I looked her up on Google Images. And I was like, holy shit.
She's
stunning.
Gorgeous. You know what's so funny is I looked up stuff on YouTube on the movie, and she did like a making of video.
Oh, really? That's Unicorns. Cool.
So I watched that, and I saw that she had a link to her brother's YouTube. So I was like, oh, what's this? I click on this. Her brother does these weird social experiments where he... They're hilarious. I watch it for hours. He'll, like, people walking down the street, he'll walk and start holding your hand, and people go, what the hell? And he goes...
Yeah, you sent me that, or you posted it on Facebook, or something like that. It was really cool.
Yeah, he did one where he starts to sing a song like, don't stop, and he turns to the person, they go, believing? He goes, yeah! He does stuff like that. But they were hilarious. My favorite one he did was, Bill, he would go up to people before 2012, and he'd be like, man, it's all gonna end. It's all over. And they go, excuse me? He go, the world is gonna end. And they go, no, I don't think so. He goes, well, you're wrong.
Oh my gosh.
He would just creep people out. But some of them are really uncomfortable. Like the one where he just stares at people and they're like, can I help you with something? And he goes, just stares at him. He doesn't answer them.
Oh my God, that would creep me out.
Yeah, pretty creepy.
You have 10 seconds.
Tick.
But anyway, everyone should watch Unicorn City on Netflix. Bill, let's get into what's on our TiVo, and then we'll take a break very soon.
All right.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Let's do it! Awesome.
TiVo.
Excuse me?
TiVo.
TiVo.
That's not how you say it. Oh, Steven Bott. Wow.
Oh, TiVo. Guest 892 in the chat room asked if they should take their 14-year-old daughter to see The Last Stand. No.
TiVo.
There you go. Yeah.
This movie is hard R.
Yeah, like, you know what?
Lots of effers, lots of blood splatter, lots of dismemberments, you know, just, this is hard R. Do not take your kid to see this movie. You will not enjoy it because you will be uncomfortable through the entire thing.
Hard hair, hair.
What? You know what's funny is my dad took me, you know, I've talked about this before. He took me to movies that I shouldn't have seen at any age. You know, I shouldn't have seen Alien when I was eight years old. Yeah. And he was like, did you take Emma to see Zero Dark Thirty? I'm like, what do you think?
God.
I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I realized he totally would have taken me to see that when I was a kid.
He wanted to see it.
Yeah.
He himself had an arrested development issue.
My dad is at the age also where he doesn't know when to not say things in front of my daughter. Like he asked her like about Bin Laden and he goes, oh,
no, he did not.
He
ask
did.
Your daughter about
and he goes,
Bin Laden.
You probably know him as the boogeyman, right, Emma? And
oh,
she was
Jesus Christ.
She
man.
Looked at him blankly, and I go, Dad, she has no idea what you're talking about.
Can you just let her live her childhood?
And he goes, oh, okay. And I'm like, are you retarded? What is wrong? He's gotten to the age where he will talk about anything, anywhere.
Do you remember in the early 80s when Charlie Manson was up for parole?
Yeah.
And he was doing interviews with Geraldo, and that scared the shit
out
of
him. Oh, yeah. He's like, you like Pluto, man.
Kid.
Yeah.
Because he was all over the TV, all over with the swastika on his head and the crazy eyes.
Crazy shit.
My sister's watching the movie Helter Skelter. I mean, it was just. He was my boogeyman when I was a kid. I actually had plans in my head. I would lay in bed and plan, okay, if I move to Maine and he's in California, it will take him longer to kill me.
Oh, my God.
Because he will have to kill people all the way across the United States before he gets to me. That was my thinking.
They shouldn't have let you see that, Bill.
That was my 6 or 7 year old thinking.
Wow.
Whenever I'm seeing this on TV.
Well, I'm glad my dad wasn't your dad because you would have been more effed up. Even.
My dad was just as bad as your dad showing me the day after that TV movie about the nuclear war and going, this is what
your
it's going to look
like
when the world ends.
Jason.
I mean, this is a mushroom cloud. I mean, I had nightmares my entire childhood because of that. Our parents screwed us up royally. I blame them for everything.
I know, no kidding. Bastards.
Mine too.
This is turning into quite the therapy show.
Yeah, what the hell's going on? Now, Bill, we're going to take a break, but first I want to get into Cake Boss. Just for a minute. I know everyone loves Cake Boss.
I'm so pissed off. My DVR will not record a new episode of Cake Boss to save its life. I get episodes from 2010, 2011. I don't have a single new one on there.
Oh, man.
It's the last one I saw, I had to download, and that was the one where I think he was delivering a carousel cake.
Oh, that's the one I'm about to talk about.
Oh, okay, excellent. I saw this.
Okay. I honestly thought it was a pretty nice cake for Buddy.
It was. They put a lot of work into it, especially whenever they had to take it apart multiple times.
Yeah, and it was detailed. And I honestly, when you see the part that happens, I could tell that was real. He was in horror.
Oh, yeah.
Because basically he makes this cake for the boardwalk guys, this carousel. It's a giant merry-go-round, you know. And the guy, Ralph, painstakingly creates the horses for it.
That guy's getting good.
Yeah.
I mean, really good. His like, people, his horses, they were stunning work for modeling chocolate
but,
or whatever.
Buddy would be screwed without that guy, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's the go-to guy. But Buddy also screwed himself. He put way too much into this cake without thinking about the support structure.
Yeah, remember
like, during the whole time where they're building it, I'm like, there should be at least 4 points of support, some thicker poles, hide them, do something.
Well, I remember back in the day when he would have someone ride in the truck with a cake. Remember that?
Yeah, they would, but it was too wide. Nobody could fit on either side of it. And could you imagine if it would have collapsed on them?
Yeah, because remember he said that you'll lose a finger if you don't watch out because the thing was so heavy? You're right. If there was one person in there trying to hold it and it fell on them, it would have killed somebody.
Stretch or Anthony, God forbid.
Yeah, Anthony's in there dead with a cake on top of him.
Decapitated.
Poles sticking through his chest.
Oh, my God.
Now, let's go ahead and check this out and just listen to the horror on Buddy's face.
Voice.
Listen to the horror as the cake
the
is...
horror!
It has fallen over, and he doesn't know what to do. He's like, this isn't happening. This isn't happening. Like, he's trying to wish it away.
Yeah, the top part of the cake is actually collapsed in, like, on the bottom. Like, it fell diagonally down. There wasn't enough support around the outer structure of it.
Right. Okay, let's check this out.
The Catanazzo brothers have owned and operated Steel Pier for years. This week, they're celebrating the first stage of a 3-year renovation. What can I do for you?
Well, Steel Pier has been around for 115 years. It's probably the most famous amusement pier in the world.
Our first ride we purchased when we got into business was a carousel from Venice, Italy.
That's Steven, all right.
We'd like to see if you could make a carousel cake.
This is a great cake to do. It's just, you know, beautiful. So now that we got this thing working, it's time to finish up with the details. You know, I love all the detail. I mean, it's a beautiful carousel. When I look at this, this just reminds me like a page out of history, you know, in the 20s, being in Atlantic City, you know, and it's pretty cool. We start adding and layering. And I mean, the more we're doing, it's looking great. I mean, this thing looks like it was coming to life.
Ready! Aim! Fire!
At the end of the day, I'm relieved. We got it working, and I got
from Ega.
Awesome. It was spinning. It was 6 foot wide, 7 foot tall. I mean, it was a monster. This was like a how you doing cake.
How you doing?
My heart fell out of my chest.
This ain't happening.
I could not even believe what I saw. It was like a massacre.
Did you notice the guys were kind of getting There's a no kick out of watching Buddy freak out?
They were.
They're look, he's losing.
Close the door. Close the door.
I've had cakes fall over, and I'm able to fix them. I'm able to do it over. I'm able to make it right. There's no making it right here.
On this dumb
There's
buddy.
No way I can fix this.
This thing is in 2 hours. We're 2.5 hours away from the bakery.
Cake's done. He's going nuts.
Buddy's going nuts on.
Yeah. Everybody.
Was it the ramp?
Nah.
I don't know.
They got to make sheet cakes and get them down to Atlantic City. And we're starting in 2 hours.
On Friday night on that short traffic.
All right, so where is he?
He's in there.
Let's go talk to him. Tell him it's no big deal.
It's okay.
It's not okay for him.
Make 10 cheat cakes. Do the cakes right now. Tell my brother Wartuff to slide them down here. Okay?
You have mistakes. You have things where you can't... I've never been able to not fix something. I had to put my tail between my legs and just say, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do.
Bada bing.
Come on, bud. Bud, come on.
How we doing?
It's okay.
He looked like he was going to cry, didn't he? Okay.
He was embarrassed. He was very upset.
Just come on down.
Plus, the cake was pretty cool.
Listen to me.
But he seems
to not about the cake.
We usually make fun of his case because he overdoes it, but that one was nice.
Being here with us, forget it.
Well, listen, we put our heart and soul in this.
I know.
The way you guys put your heart and soul in this, this never happens.
Hey, listen, buddy.
This is the first time.
We built this place, and now look at it. We have 600 people coming. It's raining. What are you going to do?
Listen. I already called. I got other cakes coming down. It's not going to be the grand cake. We'll be able to serve everybody a piece of cake.
That is
going to come and everything else. And what I want to do for you guys is I know you guys are doing this rebuilding. When you rebuild a pier, I'm going to make you a cake and it's going to be on me. And I'm going to replicate the pier. We'll do
damn
something
straight,
crazy.
We're not paying for this shit.
I know that, but didn't they already pay for the cake?
That's all
we need to
for.
I know.
Look.
Hey, don't worry about it.
Just
bring
it
out.
Yeah. I couldn't have asked for a better client. Buddy Velastro failed.
Aw, buddy.
Wow, he's so hard on himself.
He really
is. I mean, granted, yes, it was his fault.
Yeah. He's a little too into it, wasn't he?
Well, you know, he's thinking about what his father would do.
Yeah.
And you every time they show his mother, my heart breaks.
Oh, I know. That's so
I
sad.
I cannot take it. And I know they're doing. They're going to do a whole episode. Did they already do the whole episode about her?
Yeah, they did.
I didn't watch it. I don't want to watch it.
Yeah, it's really sad. And I was just glad something happened on this episode that was interesting. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
anymore,
the set.
It's. I am already tired of the Cousin Anthony versus the two girls thing. And they're like, yeah, you got to earn being pranked. And the girls were so bad at it. Like, it almost seemed like a half-hearted setup just to get the girls in trouble. Like, it was so bad.
They need to. I think Buddy should worry about sexual harassment, the way they treat the
definitely.
Women there.
Yeah, definitely. There's some serious sexual harassment going on.
Well, that girl Marissa from the Next Great Baker, like, they were, like, putting cakes in her face and stuff. And I was just like, couldn't you sue or something or go to, you know, human resources?
I would.
I'd be like,
except human
shit.
Resources is Mary.
Yeah. Oh, you just get over it. They used to haze me all the time. And I'd be like, oh, you're the worst human resources person.
You're the worst ever.
Well, Bill, what do you say we take a break and we come right back?
All right, let's do it.
I have to pee.
Yeah, me too. All right, we'll be right back.
How does Steven pee?
We'll be right back, everybody.
Yeah. You have 10 seconds. Tick. Pop.
Welcome to Mystery Mansion, where I've hidden $1 million for you to find. All you have to do is find the right clues. Perhaps my electronic organizer can help.
You found a clue.
Now, where could those precious millions be? Maybe in the study?
The money is not in the study.
Or maybe not. Ah, secret message. Well, you found the right clues, but you'll never find the money.
You found the money.
I'm rich!
Find your fortune in Mystery Mansion. It's just a game.
Or is it?
Prepare yourself for Star Wars, Shadows of the Empire. The cruel crime lord Shizor directs the carbonite capture of Han Solo and his imprisonment aboard bounty hunter Boba Fett's battle-ready Slave One. Now Luke Skywalker goes undercover with Soldier of Fortune Dash Rendar as he rips through space in his battle-transforming Outrider. But can they stop Slave One in time? It's the ultimate ships for the ultimate battle. Dare to enter the shadow. Star Wars, Shadows of the Empire. Figures and vehicles each sold separately from Kenner.
Looking back in time,
a scary skeleton was on the loose.
So it was time to open up the lab.
Time to build a time machine. Time to cruise back in time.
Ah, the skeleton.
What timing?
And your time is up, bonehead.
Now, time to go home. Because when you're having fun, time flies. Time cruises and dark forest. New sets to explore from Lego system. Each set sold separately.
Who dares race on my haunted highway? Two monster trucks. Prepare yourselves. My evil eye is out to destroy you. Your blazing speed won't save you from my rolling eyeball. Take the lead on Suicide Squeeze. Bust him up on Dead Man's Curve. You must beat him and beat me. Escape my evil eye and win. New from FICO. Haunted highway. Electric racing. Battery not included. I've got my eye out for you.
Don't tell me you're going to let aches and pains caused by a bad mattress destroy your life. Realistically, you know you can't get a good mattress for $49.95, but at Furniture Mart, you can purchase a premium mattress at a reasonable price. The best test is to lie down on a mattress and try it out. Simmons Beauty Rest, Serta Perfect Sleeper, or a Spring Air Four Seasons Back Supporter. Get a good night's sleep and enjoy life. Furniture Mart, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz.
Why do you wear seatbelts?
Because it makes you not crash into the glass of the car.
How do seatbelts work?
Put it around your waist when you get in the car.
Why should people wear seatbelts?
I think everybody should wear them because when they click, that means you're safe.
Buckle up for love. Salinas Valley Memorial Hospital. We care for kids.
Teacher Barbie and her students love classroom fun. It's so much to learn, they're never done.
this was 1 plus 2.
10?
Teacher Barbie says.
Try it again.
3?
Great job.
Whee! Teacher Barbie rings the bell for recess fun and gives a hug for a job well done.
Teacher Barbie doll comes with 2 student dolls. Sounds and Barbie voice come from chalkboard. Batteries not included.
Big news. Now you get 2 more Kellogg's Pop-Tarts in every box.
What?
That's right. 2 extra Pop-Tarts. The one with real yummy fruit inside.
And who has to warm them up? Me!
Now 8 for the price of 6.
Sure, encourage the people. What are you doing to me? You want me to blow a coil?
Kellogg's Pop-Tarts, a delicious part of this complete breakfast. Now even cooler, because you get 8.
No, they're cool because they're hot. Not because you get 8.
Enter a new dimension where you can suspend objects in time and space. Wonder how?
Wonder World, a magical world in the making.
Mix the magic gel, let it set, then suspend the action. Create a treacherous treasure hunt. Change it, add effects. Go on a mermaid adventure, then show it off.
Look, bubbles!
Cool! Wonder World, a magical world in the making.
Set sold separately, distilled water required and not included. Allow gel to set overnight.
Racing. Hit the mega-sized track with 2 radio-controlled trucks. Steer them, pass them, rub it up. Ride the rail, hit a jump and throw a block. Speed up and take off. Flip over and keep on moving. RC Mega Racing, a radically new way to race and rumble all the way to the finish line. Batteries not included. Tyco RC Mega Racing, maximum heat.
Take care of me, twins. This is my day. Busy feeding 2 babies who seem okay. But this one is drooling, does your tummy hurt?
Oh, excuse me, did you just drool on my shirt?
I'm rushing around, taking care of these 2. With new little twins, there's so much to do. Uh-oh, is that a runny nose I see? Thanks very much, was that one for me? Take care of me, twins, keep me on the run. But caring for twins is so much more fun.
Take care of me, twins, make 4 baby sounds.
I love new Honey Nut Cheerios. Yes, I do. Nobody can say no to a new Honey Nut. Oh! Now it has a better taste and a bigger crunch. And my whole family loves a bunch. Oh, nobody can say no to new Honey Nut Cheerios. Because nobody can say no. It's new.
They really lowered the prices. Most restaurants, they go up, this place, they go down.
I can't get him out unless they're low prices.
Under $10.
Red Lobster introduces new low prices. Now 15 luscious dinners under $10.
You get shrimp, crab, salmon.
Try our succulent shrimp combo. Savory scampi and beer-battered shrimp.
I like shrimp. I'm a shrimp eater.
With salad and Cheddar Bay biscuits, all this just $7.99. New low prices at Red Lobster now.
Then we can even afford dessert. So what a wonderful place.
What goes on inside Batman's head? The Batman Forever Micro Playsets. Face the mysterious Batcave with trapdoor and rapid launch Batmobile attack. Or reveal the explosive workings of the Riddler's heavily armored hideout.
Fire!
The Batman Forever Micro Playsets, each sold separately.
Now, fight for the galaxy with the incredible weapons of the Jedi Knights. The Luke Skywalker lightsaber and the new Darth Vader lightsaber. Both with blazing extendable light blades and 3 real movie sounds. Clash and strike. Star Wars lightsabers.
Batteries not included, each sold separately. In canon.
Attention GAC lovers! Now you can make your own GAC with the Nickelodeon Make Your Own GAC Lab. It's easy. Pump in the water, add the secret ingredients, and in minutes, fresh homemade GAC.
GAC-tastic!
You can mix your favorite GAC colors and smells. Blue banana, yellow bubblegum, and many more.
Odorific!
And those great GAC sounds. Remember, that's the Make Your Own GAC Lab set. But wait, there's more. GAC in the dark. It really, really glows. It's glow-dacious. Make Your Own GAC Lab refills and GAC in the dark sold separately. Lab makes 8 ounces of GAC.
Is Jason here?
Jason around?
Is Jason around?
If you win the Kellogg's Nintendo 64 sweepstakes, you better get ready for a party.
Jason!
Because you might win one of over 1 million prizes, like a new Nintendo 64, or even the grand prize, a block party for you and 64 of your friends. See, specially marked Kellogg cereals are right for a free game piece. Many will play, only 1 in 64 will win.
presenting a day in the life of Ronald McDonald. We find Ronald in bed, his alarm clock about to go off.
Well, Ronald, I'm off now.
See you tomorrow.
Next, it's time to take a bath, but he finds someone has already taken it. So it's on to his vast closet to decide what to wear.
What to wear.
Greeting his ever-present fans.
Hi, Ben.
You're the greatest one.
He pauses to put smiles on the Fry Kids' faces. After answering phone calls...
Yes. What? I'm here!
He hops a cab and goes to a recording session with an actual rock band. On a day that would exhaust any ordinary clown, Ronald joins the McNuggets for box seats at the opera. Then heads home just in time to catch the evening news and tell the Fry Kids their favorite bedtime story.
Once upon a time, there was...
Hey, you can have the bath.
Come on.
Thank you, Ronald, for sharing your day.
What's a good demonstration of how powerful a vacuum is? How about paper clips? Jelly beans? Quarters? Marbles? Three-quarter-inch nuts? Three-quarter-inch bolts? 3/4-inch nuts and bolts. What vacuum has this much power and a hose that lets you clean from floor to ceiling? The Regina Housekeeper Plus. Oh, the Housekeeper Plus also picks up dirt.
3, 2, 1!
Hey there, sports dudes! In baseball tonight, Grand Slam and Rath Slam ticket. Fortunately, the ball didn't go anywhere because it was attached to a pole. In football, TD Toss and Leo's making sure the foot aren't having a ball. In basketball, Slam Dunk and Don's becoming a real batting case. And in wrestling, we find Shell Slam and Mike pinned by his python. More Sewer Sports All-Stars coming up, but now a word from our sponsor.
Have me some fun. Have me some fun. Have me some fun.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
No, I'm not.
You know what? You're crazy to load up Twitter right now. Dude, will spoil.
Almost read. Someone said, well, the. Someone wrote.
Guys, shut up!
No!
I don't even want to hear.
I saw the word fringe, and I went. I nearly dropped my phone. First of all,
episodes have been so good. I was just like, wow, it's back. This is the fringe that I remember. Character based,
dude. You see the fringe finale? Why do you need to tweet about it right away? Okay,
yeah.
Why? Why do you need to... Well, here's what I thought of it. You don't.
They cannot resist. Twitter is... People live on Twitter to bullshit, and they have to get it out. They have to spit it out. Like, everyone was watching it. And they just... Oh, I hate Twitter some days.
It makes me sick.
Yeah, I now can't... I am so excited about the finale because I love where it's gone. I love what they're doing these past two episodes, you know, bringing it full circle. It's been fantastic.
I'm in a full-time TV depression right now because
I know.
Last time we talked about Fringe, we were talking about remember you were talking about they're spinning their wheels a little bit?
Yeah.
I started thinking about it and I love Fringe so much. I could watch the characters run a bowling alley or something. You know, like
they should. They should hook up with the guy that ran the bowling alley.
Yeah, who's dead now because he's all skeletal.
Dead now because in the future.
They could go to Stuckeyville and open Ed's bowling alley. But I'm saying that I love the character so much I want him to go on forever.
I would die for a merging of Fringe and Ed.
It'd be the most ridiculous pairing ever.
Could you imagine Ed and Walter running Stucky Bowl?
Oh, that would be so awesome.
And Walter could be there with Shirley and Phil Stubbs.
I'm going to miss Walter so much.
Oh, my God, yeah. I John Noble is a gift.
He really is.
He's amazing. He disappears into everything.
When I
see him on that show he does on the Science Channel, Dark Matters...
Uh-huh.
And he does the voiceover. It's like, wow, he's not Walter. He's
a different
guy.
He's
John Noble. Yeah.
Right.
Or even as the
Denethor?
Return of the King. Denethor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, just he's awesome. I love that guy. I want him in more films.
He has the greatest death ever in that movie. It's just ridiculous.
And also in, he was fantastic in L.A. Noir.
Oh yeah,
the real estate developer.
And remember how different he is in Running Scared with Paul Walker?
Oh my God, he's the mob boss.
Yeah, it's crazy. You effing vore.
The man is a chameleon.
Yeah.
And now I need to watch Running Scared again. And I just watched it like 2 months ago. I need to watch it again. I love that movie. It is an underappreciated gem.
And also, another example, you know, the show Alphas, we loved. We loved.
You know, and I have to apologize to you because a lot of times my jokes don't come through in text and I forget that. And on Facebook, you posted how you were depressed that it was canceled, and I wrote that I blamed you.
Yeah.
And instead
like,
of putting an LOL and a smiley face and all that, I forget how sometimes how personal you can take things, especially whenever it's a show like Alphas, which really kind of connected with us on a personal level because of the characters. I wrote that, and immediately I was like, shit, I shouldn't write that because he won't get that I'm joking, that I'm trying to bring levity to the fact that I'm pissed that this show has been canceled.
Yeah, I was like, why is it my fault?
Like, when I read that it was canceled, I immediately went out and put on my Simon and Garfunkel Bridge Over Troubled Water album because The Only Living Boy in New York is on that.
Yeah.
And I got really depressed. Like, I started tweeting Ryan Cartwright. He probably thinks I'm a crazy obsessed fan that I was tweeting him like Gary lives with the hashtag Only Living Boy in New York. And then the next day I wrote him, Alphas may be gone, but you can take solace in the fact that you gave life to one of the greatest television characters. And, you know, just to express my appreciation. I don't care if he ever reads it or not, but I just have to put it out there. I can't wait to see him in more things,
but that character of Gary. Okay, on our Fringe Edge show, Gary comes to work at the bowling alley.
Yes, he has to.
He runs
the books for Stucky Bowl.
He also runs all the TVs and stuff.
And then he eventually gets involved with Molly. Because Molly needed a good love interest, and I think Gary's perfect for her.
Yeah, it's a great show. And also another show that I loved. I mean, I absolutely adored the show, and I fell in love with it last season. It was called The L.A. Complex.
Yeah, you got me to fall in love with it. You told me to watch it, and I was like, you talked about it for like 2 or 3 months.
It's on the CW, and it looks like a 90210 type show. But
yeah, so I finally got the first season, and it was, what was it, 7 or 8 episodes?
Six, I think.
So it was something like that. It was an odd number because I ripped through them in one night, and I remember I remember texting you and going, I am obsessed with this show. Like, it's like the anti Melrose Place, Melrose Place.
Totally. Dude, I never thought I would be so, I would care so much about character. Like, there's a gangsta rapper that is a closet homosexual who hates
Calvin,
himself.
What is it? Calvin King, the King of California.
He doesn't want to admit it to himself. He hates himself. And you get so pulled into his storyline.
That was the main storyline for me. The show became about Calvin. That guy was so good as Calvin. My heart hurt for him in every episode. And every time that he had to fake who he was, it destroyed me.
Well, also, there's the other character who's the successful actor on a bad hospital show. He was abandoned as a child, and he now burns himself.
Burns himself, cuts himself, drinks, you know, pills.
Yeah. He's just a mess, and he gets involved in, they don't call it Scientology, but it is. They find his long-lost sister to recruit him. And I love that storyline, too. I was like, ooh, this is getting good, you know? And also,
you know
the,
what? This show picked up where Revenge failed for me in the second season.
Yeah.
Like, I totally lost interest in Revenge. I haven't watched it in probably the past 5 or 6 episodes that it was on, because it just, it got too big for its britches.
Yeah, Heather and I watched the pilot, no, not the pilot, the first episode of the second season, and we have like 9 episodes on the DVR.
Yeah, I lost interest, whereas the first season was just so wonderfully juicy, and then it kind of started losing.
Yeah, it always had some cheesy shit in it.
Yeah, but
ridiculous.
Now it's too much cheese. But the LA Complex, it's just so genuine. Mm-hmm. It's cheesy, sure, because Melrose Place was cheesy, but its characters and its writing is genuine, like coming from a real place.
They do a good job of turning it on its head. Like, you think one thing about a character, and then it changes where you like them. First you hate them, and then... But
they even introduce a character of a little boy and a girl who you're not really sure of the dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But then in one episode, I became obsessed with their story.
Yeah.
Like, that's how well imagined these characters are and how well acted they are. The LA Complex is a fantastic show. It demanded another season. If no one was watching it, this is what pisses me off. If no one is watching the show, then the channel, the network, is doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And that should be on the network to give it a chance. Like, with Fringe, Fox knew that it was special. But they gave it a chance to finish its story.
Right.
Whereas CW should give LA Complex a chance to wrap up. Although the end of the second season left a perfect opening for every character.
The final episode of that show is pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, if we never see... Well, we will never see another episode again. I am perfectly happy with the way it ended. Because I think they knew, you know, that they had to bring closure to a lot of these characters because they probably weren't going to be picked up again.
So I would say, like, if that show hopefully comes to Netflix, you could watch it, and it has a definite ending where you won't be like, but you will
Same with Terriers. Terriers isn't now. And I proposed this to you today on or yesterday. I'm not sure that we start a new segment when we start Entertainment Landfill, and that's the TV Cemetery, where when we feel like it, we go to the TV Cemetery and we pay our respects to shows that were ended before their time. You know, I think we should actually do full episodes. Like a mini movie mini, but a TV mini about the series.
Right.
And call it TV Cemetery.
Totally.
Like,
I'm in mourning right now.
There are a lot of shows that deserve that deserve a respect, and maybe even try our best to get maybe some people on that were on the show.
Oh.
Like, talk to the director, talk to the writer or creator or maybe one of the actors. Like, I would love to get an episode about Terriers with, like, Michael Raymond James or, you know, something. It doesn't have to be someone huge. Even the sister, the crazy sister of Donald Logue. I would love to talk about Terriers. I would love to talk about L.A. Complex. I would love to talk about... what else ended that we were alphas? I would kill to have Ryan Cartwright to just talk to him and go, you know, what, when you created Gary in your mind, when you read him on the script, how did you come up with these little intricacies, these little quirks? Like, how does that work? How in your mind do you create that? Like, I would love to dig into that. And I would love to talk to each one of them. I think that would be a perfect show for us.
It makes me feel kind of like I'm like telling Heather that, like, will there be other shows that will ever replace these shows? You know, will there? I don't know.
I don't think that's I don't think that's a fair question.
Because there'll always be
a love for that show. Sure, another show will come along. Just like right now, Banshee, a show on Cinemax, a co-production, I think, with Canada.
Right.
And I think that's a show that has real possibility of being a weekly entertaining thing. But here's the thing. I don't see it lasting more than 3 or 4 seasons because it's Cinemax trying something new.
Well, and it's like about a con. Like, how long can that go on?
Yeah, how long can this con be?
Yeah. But it's like there's a certain group of characters I fall in love with. It's like a family, like Fringe. And I wonder, will there ever be a show where they become like family again. And probably there's a that new TBS show I'm really digging, The Wedding Band. Mm-hmm. There's a the close-knit friends and everything.
I really like it. I watched three episodes and I was in love with it. The more episodes I watched, the love kind of diminished because they're a little too inconsistent. Just a little too inconsistent.
You know what the problem is? You know what the problem is? They're airing them out of order.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
It feels out of order.
Heather and I figured it out because there would be like, he got a new apartment, but now he's back in his old apartment. And there's like Ryan Hansen, remember, you know that actor?
Yeah, he was in the episode where they there was a bachelor party.
He knows them in that. Coming up a couple episodes later, he meets him for the first time.
See, I haven't gotten that far yet.
So what TBS did, they're like, well, we got to air the Megan Fox episode first, you know, or second. And I think what they did is they messed up the order. So now it's kind of weird. But I'd like to we're trying
that
to figure out.
That makes total sense to me now.
It's
because it feels like uneven.
Because, the Jenny Wade character, she's friendlier with him in one episode, and then she's more kind of distant with him because she doesn't know him as well. Yeah, I don't know why they do that. It messes shit up, but we fought through it, you know?
Yeah, I'm on episode... The last episode I watched was the prom episode.
Right.
Or maybe... Was the prom episode the same episode where the drummer wants a friend, and he's like, attaching himself to the Harold Perrineau character, and they're like jamming together, and the Harold Perrineau character's like, listen, you know, we're cool in a band, but I don't really have time for another friend jam sort of thing.
I think so, yeah.
I'm around 4 or 5.
I like the songs they play, like they trick them up and stuff. That's always cool.
I do like the arrangements. Like a lot of times they take a song and then make it sound totally different with a new arrangement, and it's clever.
You guys in MySpace or...
Yeah, the last episode I watched had Joe Latrulia.
Yeah, had that guy.
And Molly Sims. Or? And I loved how the Melora Hardin character, the boss of Roxy
Rutherford.
She and Molly Sims are supposed to be the same age.
Yeah.
I thought that was really funny.
Roxy Rutherford. You need to see the one with... the guy who played Spike on Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
No, that is the next episode for me.
Okay, yeah, that one's really funny, and that's the clip I used in the intro. But I really like the show, and I wish they'd air it in order, because...
It's clever, and yeah, it needs to be aired in order, because it's dependent on the building of the characters.
You know,
because it has a very kind of familiar Ed type of vibe, like quirky characters, but set in a in a world that's kind of against them.
Yeah. And, you know, I really like that bachelor party episode where his kids are there at the strip club.
That was so funny. And, like, even the goofy stuff, like the stripper mom, Tina. And I loved the Comic Con episode with Megan Fox.
Me
too. She was genius. And the whole like, bad sci-fi running gag, like, I don't watch sci-fi because the ending's never satisfying,
right?
And all
there's
that stuff.
There's a great Harold Perrineau line at the end, you know, where he's like, oh, this is such a cop-out, it's the most disappointing ending ever, you know?
Yeah.
And he goes, what show are you talking about? And he goes, Seinfeld, man. You think he's talking about Lost? That was great.
There are some great tongue-in-cheek moments, and I hate Brian Austin Green, and I like him in this show.
Yeah,
the
he's good.
Where he had to be the babysitter for his buddy's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It's cracking me up. Like, there's a moment where him and all his golf buddies are sitting down talking, and the girl starts, they say something, the girl picks up on it and starts asking questions.
Yeah.
What's death?
Yeah, what's death?
He just keeps digging the hole deeper and deeper. It's really charming and funny. They're doing a great job with it. TBS just needs to get their shit together.
Yeah. Have you seen the one where with Brian Austin Green's dad?
No.
So yeah, the one with his dad, the actor they have to play his dad is a guy I love. So I'll let you see that one.
Excellent. Yeah, I have like four or five episodes left. I'm halfway through. I got sidetracked on a couple different things this week, so I didn't finish them all, but I will.
I honestly think if a TBS could give it another season, like season two, their chemistry is all worked out, and it would be really good.
And in order?
Yeah, and air it in order. Don't air out of
you know that happened to Firefly.
Yeah.
Which is a show I actually revisited. My disdain for brown coats in general is well noted. But god damn, that was a good show.
Yeah.
I think it was over, was it over New Year's or was it over Christmas that sci-fi had a marathon? Or science, not sci-fi, science
cannot
had a marathon.
Stop the signal.
And I don't own it on Blu-ray. I still have it on DVD. So this was the first time I was seeing all of them in HD.
Yeah, I've been watching. I'll watch it an occasional episode on Netflix, but it's in standard def. But at least it's widescreen. It doesn't look so bad, you know.
I sat down with my dad and watched it all during that vacation, that marathon.
Jenny.
And we were obsessed with it. That episode where they go to the planet and they're being I can't remember exactly how it happens, but they're being confronted. And I went to my dad and I said, hold on a second, you're going to love this. And that's when Captain Mao kicks the guy into the engine.
Yeah.
And my dad just went, holy shit, I love this show.
Gorham.
Like it's moments like that that the show is littered with, and the camaraderie and the family aspect and the just how edgy it is. And I love the show. Joss Whedon had just gold on his hands. And
that's one of those shows where it's just like, god, if there could just be like,
maybe I had like that knee jerk reaction where so many people started to love it. But then I think what happened was, they put so much into the testing of Serenity and doing those special
you
screenings.
You get sick of everyone talking about they've seen it already. Starts pissing you off.
Yeah, that you went to one of those special screenings and saw the movie, right?
No.
No, you didn't?
No, I saw it on opening day.
Oh, okay, because I think what made me angry is that killed the movie.
Yeah.
That killed any chance. All the talk, everyone that wanted to see it saw it.
Yeah.
And they didn't go again on opening day. Joss Whedon, he really needs to calm down with the fan service. Mm-hmm. Like there was way too much fan service in the Avengers.
At least all the people of the Avengers went to see it.
Yeah, I know. And I thought, and that's one of the reasons why I hated Cabin in the Woods was just it was too.
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, I was too tongue in cheek. Too like
my dad
wink,
thought it was
wink,
brilliant.
Nudge. But
my dad probably wants me to screen it for Emma.
Yeah. Oh my god. But
no,
I think Joss Whedon just needs to take a breath, calm down, appreciate the fans, but not indulge the fans.
I am curious. With him creating the S.H.I.E.L.D. show, I think it could be really cool. Cool espionage type show.
Yeah, absolutely. I have never watched all of Buffy. I have it on my DVD rack right there in front of me.
It's all on Netflix, isn't it? Or it may be,
but I own it, so why not watch it on DVD? I've never watched it. Never. I've been afraid to for some
reason. I know,
everyone
loves it, and I've thought about giving it a try.
Yeah, so I will.
Well, Bill, let's get back on track here. Let's talk
about... Sorry. Jesus, this show is going to be 5 hours long with all these tangents I'm going on.
Well, you know, another thing, there's certain shows that I don't talk a lot about on the show. I think I've talked about that before because I keep them personally close to me, you know, and
you
I don't want to.
You are a TV king. I wish I could watch as many shows as you watch. And I mean this in the most respectful way, like not an insult at all.
Mm-hmm.
I have a really hard time letting shows come to me.
Right, right.
Like, I can't. Maybe I'm afraid. Maybe it's like that, you know, the terriers, the alphas. I see the pain that you go through when something is canceled that you've let yourself get into. And I like, don't want that.
Yeah, I can't help but get sucked into, you know, good shows like that. And
I know, you're just, I wish I could. I really want that.
And yet there's shows like Breaking Bad that I've never seen an episode of, you know?
I honestly think Breaking Bad's overrated.
Well,
I
it's
really
got to be at this point
because
so many people told me to watch it. I know I understand it's good, and I should probably catch up on it before it ends. But Justified, I love that show.
Holy shit! If Justified got canceled, I would be so pissed off because I live in Harlan, like that Raylan Givens Harlan world. I love it.
Oh.
Like I love, especially this season. It's beginning. It's so dark.
Yeah,
this is the darkest Justified has ever been.
Oh man,
and
when he goes to visit
me.
That weird white trash family, they're so scary.
Oh my gosh!
But I love when the
kid that keep. What did he keep saying? You're not taking away our
draw. You ain't taking away our draw. And I love when the captain realizes who's involved. He goes, "Ma'am, you have a lovely family."
I didn't pick up on who it is, but he knows.
Yeah.
He thinks he knows.
And he just wants to get out of there. But, man, that show.
This is like this bag. This bag with this ID is legendary through the criminal circles. I love the mystery they're setting up for this.
The humor on the show is great.
So dark.
I love that one.
On Twitter, I was laughing so hard how many people put the hashtag shoot the airbag.
Yeah. But I love when the MMA fighter guy, he goes, "I'm going to raccoon you." Oh, remember, he's got the guy in a chokehold and the guy's trying to tap out. And he goes, "Are you really trying to tap out?" Because he's choking the guy. And he goes, "I'm going to raccoon you. You know what that is?" And he goes, "Dush, dush." And he goes, "You're going to wake up with two black eyes tomorrow." That was so funny. Okay, Bill, let's talk about King of the Nerds.
Yes.
King of the Nerds, and I believe it was created by Robert Carradine and Curtis Armstrong.
Was it really?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. They were both on Howard Stern this week.
I didn't hear that.
Howard was geeking over me, kept calling him. He goes, "Do you mind if I call you Booger and stuff like that?" And he goes, "No, hilarious. I get it all the time." And it was pretty funny.
I love Curtis Armstrong. He is one of the most down-to-earth guys. I met Curtis Armstrong.
Really?
One of my high school teachers at the Christian school that I went to was family friends with Curtis Armstrong's parents.
Wow.
Yeah. So I actually met him one very briefly, shook his hand, said, "Love Risky Business, love Revenge of the Nerds. I grew up on those movies. And I just thank you." I just simply said, and he smiled and said, "Well, that's really nice. Thank you for enjoying them." And that was it. That was it. But when I met him, it was just like, I can die happy now.
Don't forget, he was also Warren Cheswick's dad, wasn't he?
He was. But that was before that. This was like 96.
That's awesome. So, yeah. You know, the TBS has been showing these commercials endlessly, like over and over again. And I'm not sure what to think of the show of King of the Nerds. I'm like, "Oh, it looks cheesy. I don't know." And I start watching it and, you know, it's not too annoying. You know, I'm getting into it. I think Nerdvana is pretty cool. You know, yeah. I like did you notice it's got a 20 sided die, an Atari joystick, and a Rubik's Cube. But let's go ahead and check out
and
this
I
first
love
part.
The seat, the gaming chair, or the throne of gaming or something.
Yeah,
and it
instead
has
of
all
game...
the different guns from different games. Yeah. And
instead of Game of Thrones, it's the throne of games.
Throne of games, yes.
Yeah. Let's check this out.
Welcome to Nerdvana. Yeah!
You may recognize us. I'm Bobby.
I'm Curtis.
Back in the day, we made nerds cool.
It's really exciting to meet Curtis and Bobby. I'm really glad that they're passing the torch on to the next generation of nerds.
Call me Boomer.
You are the most imaginative, inventive, devious, and intelligent nerds
and geeks
in the world. And you're here to compete against each other for $100,000.
Yes!
And
nice.
To be crowned King of the Nerds.
I would use the $100,000 prize for something fun, like investing in a good index fund.
Each week, you'll compete team against team in a battle royale that we like to call the Nerd War.
So, for today's Nerd War, you will divide yourselves into two teams of five nerds each. However, as you've noticed, there are 11 of you. Which means somebody doesn't get picked.
Dodgeball. This is like the biggest nerd nightmare ever. All of us are reverting back to elementary school horror days of, oh my god, I'm not going to get picked.
What do you say, Curtis, that we pick the team captains?
Let's do that, Robert.
Right.
The first team captain is... Genevieve!
I
I'm Genevieve. I'm a Batman fanatic.
Oh, she's so cute.
People tend to describe me as innocent, demure, and then they get to know me, and then they start describing me with words like Machiavellian or ruthless. Achtung, du bist ein Dummkopf, und ich bin ein Schmartypants.
And the second team captain is...
Ivan!
All right. When you picked my name, I was like, that sucks, but that's awesome. That sucks.
Genevieve and Ivan, you will get to make the first picks for this challenge. Each person who is picked will then pick the next member of their team.
I'm so confused.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing that you and I started talking about is what is a nerd and what is a geek, and then I started confusing myself about it. Because this is a crop of nerds and geeks, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's a mix.
Some are the clean-cut kind of nerds, and some are the messy kind of a slob nerds. And
slovenly.
Yeah, some are gamer nerds, some are science mathematician nerds.
See, that I've always felt that the science, math... They're not geeks, they're nerds.
Right.
Whenever you get into just being obsessive about something, I think that's geekdom.
I think like whenever you involve braininess into it, you're a nerd, right?
Braininess, nerd. Obsessiveness, geeky.
Like if you obsessively collect comic books, but also you have a degree in calculus, you're a nerd, right?
You're a nerd. When braininess enters into it, nerd.
But there's also slacker geek too, isn't there?
There absolutely is a slacker geek. Those are the ones that just, that's it. Like, that all they do is obsess over, like, a slacker geek is Brody from Mallrats.
Yeah, he could be a genius on knowledge of comic books and video games, but he doesn't have a math degree, you know?
There's no, yeah, a perfect slacker geek would be basically me. I have an associate's degree like that girl. Granted, I'm going back to school.
Oh, what's funny is when she starts kind of hating herself, she goes, I have is an associate's degree, because everyone is like so...
Yeah. That's. I felt for her. Instantly, I connected with her because...
She felt she's insecure around
Yeah, her. I've... Yeah, that's... I'm her.
Well, here's a clip where they all kind of introduce themselves, and some of them are nerdier than others. There's that one guy...
The super nerds are the ones that love to flaunt it, but also hang it over people. Like, I am MIT graduate, I fellowship, blah, 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 blah. It's people that love to describe that shit. I've known nerds like that. There are nerds that were in high school with that were like, oh, we like the same thing, let's hang out. But then they would, like, hang their superiority, their grades, their smartness over you. And it's like, dude, we may like the same things, but you're an asshole.
Well, yeah. Lame sauce, basically. Yeah. But that guy Hendrick, he looks like the kind of guy, you know, the guy who's into birds and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
He's hilarious.
He's Bill Haverchuck.
Yeah.
From Freaks and Geeks.
Because there's a part where they're getting paint dumped on him, and he describes why he's getting it, and he's like, a mixture of water, and so it's funny. Let's check this out.
I'm Brandon, and I'm a PhD graduate student in neuroscience.
There you go.
Okay, asshole. This is awesome.
The house is awesome.
There's a Radio Shack lab.
Sweet.
With a whiteboard, I need a whiteboard to survive. Where else are you going to write stuff? A piece of paper's not good for that. Well, I mean, it is, but it's not optimal.
There's a project room.
Oh, wow. My name is John. I'm extremely focused on science and heavy metal, and I know very little outside of that.
Like, I read textbooks for pleasure.
I love math and physics. I also love to party and go to burnings.
He has pink hair.
Yeah, I have pink hair. I also love headbanging like this. Oh, crap, I hit the mic.
My name is Hendrick. I study the mechanical behavior of rocks, ice, and mixtures thereof.
I grew up on the coast of Maine on a small island.
I would love Uber nerd. To speak with birds.
He is Asperger.
I'm Joshua. One trait that I have that's going to take me to the end here is really that I'm a jack of all trades.
This feels right.
Master of
none. This feels right.
Plus, I have a zombie plan. Any person that has a zombie plan, you know, is organized and well thought out.
That's sexy.
He's also
you walk into this house,
dick.
And just like so many cool things to see
what
that you have to like
of
kind
nerds.
Of step out of that pretty quickly and just be like, hey, this first part of the competition is all about getting to know each other. I got to get to work.
So,
if I had to say my expertise, it would be comic book superheroes. For the Nerd Wars, I'm in charge of picking the first person on my team. I'm looking for people who are really intelligent, but it's an added bonus if they resemble Batman or anybody from the Batman series. Nice. When you put me in the game,
I thought this girl was cute.
A place where we are similar.
Which one is
Alana?
She?
And
I'm not sure.
I love Genevieve.
The one with glasses.
I want to be on Genevieve's team because she likes Batman and I like Batman. Eventually, we are going to go to a comic book con dressed up as DD from Batman Beyond.
I'm Joshua. I host a live...
I love that when the girl says, you know, she really wants to be on that girl's team. She likes Batman. I like Batman. I thought that was hilarious.
Geek debate show.
I do feel there's a lot of pressure on everyone to make the right case to the other contestants.
I know how to build a circuit and make it do what I want.
I just finished at MIT on a NASA fellowship.
I have my expertise in physics.
Unfortunately, one person will not be picked because we are an odd number of people.
So I've been doing my best to talk about my talents.
So, I'm Danielle. Hi.
If we were rating What's 1 up? To 10 on the nerd scale, I am definitely a 10. You know, maybe an 11. I have a lot of knowledge about video games. I came here
She's
to win, King of
She's
Nerds.
Not a
Wouldn't a crowd
She's
look so smart. Good on my pink hair?
I'm Virgil. I'm a PhD student at Caltech.
I am a disruptive technologist.
This guy
a disruptive
has mental
technologist
problems.
Is someone who takes like an existing thing and turns it into disarray and upheaval
Virgil
through technology.
Is one
I
of
was a computer hacker,
nerds
and I was
that,
pretty good at
like,
it. The New York Times called me the internet man in the street.
Right.
Kind of fun.
Well, not anymore.
He thinks you should respect him.
To be named, you have to be detected. And to be detected, you can't be that great.
It involves computers. Of course, they'll know it.
Oh, he said he was a hacker.
In terms of like, my credentials
hacker.
On paper, I mean, I'm aware I look very good on paper. But no one has seen me on paper.
For the last 6 years, I have been a professional gamer in video games or speed cubing. I love competition. My name's Celeste. I submerged myself into the video game world because I felt comfortable. Growing up, I wasn't the popular girl. I was very shy and very insecure. But once you put me in a competitive atmosphere, I am a complete bitch. I will play my ass off until I win.
Nobody else in the house is a pro gamer, and being able to solve a Rubik's Cube, I think, is going to be a big deal. There's a lot of Rubik's Cubes around the house. She is a really big threat to me right now.
No one plays with those
I'm
anymore.
Really good at chess, Batman, trivia, knowledge of different gods, like Norse and yeah, all those.
I'm not sure where to Greek put Alana on top of my head.
What is there? There's Norse, and what's the other one?
Greek?
Yeah, there's Greek mythology and Norse mythology. They're not the same, right?
No.
Okay. Well, they have to pick, you know, you have to dump paint on each other. And they did a cool little twist here because there's 11 people, but only 5 on each team can be picked. And they did kind of a cool twist here, and I thought it was kind of neat. Let's just check that out. Sorry there's so many clips, Bill.
No, it's fine.
Right,
I was just looking up how many different gods there are.
There's a lot.
African, Aztec, Celtic, Egyptian, Greek, Hindu, Indian, Mayan, Middle Eastern, Norse, Roman. I mean, it just goes on. Pick a culture they've had.
The girl
polytheist
is,
god.
She wants to be picked, so she's trying to tell her strength. She goes, I have knowledge of gods, you know, like Norse gods and...
She's digging a hole that she can't get out of. I feel so bad for her.
Let's check this out.
I really don't think either of the teams is going to pick me.
Honestly, I don't have a worry on my mind. I know that I'm going to get picked. I am the best nerd here.
I am surprised that I was chosen first. I have a very small skill set. I play video games and I can solve Rubik's Cubes really fast.
When Genevieve picked Celeste first, I was really shocked. I'm not sure that Ivan would have picked Celeste at all.
Picking Celeste was obvious. I mean, have you ever seen a pro gamer play? It's ridiculous. Watch one. Like, it's not human.
I'm totally surprised
Steven
I was
be
not
on that
picked.
Show.
I'm not your first choice? Are you serious?
Celeste picked me by dumping a mixture of what must have been cornstarch and water and food dye over my head, signifying that I was to join the team. I'm looking for good company.
Wow. That's how his brain
Choose
works.
Choose wisely, Hendrik.
Oh, metal!
The paint
metal
was awesome.
Please stop
like
with the metal
that
shit.
Feel depraved.
We know
they always do that.
Well, we're down to the final four.
I am getting a little worried. It's the nightmare of my elementary school self.
We are the unloved, the cast out.
Dude, was there anything worse than this?
I was annoyed.
Getting picked on teams last.
This is obvious to anyone who looks at the facts.
I hated gym
class. Maybe they're saving the best for last.
I thought it was a little surprising that Brandon was picked before I was. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't a crazy decision. I mean, I considered it like a margin of error decision.
All right, John. There's only three people left.
When John chose Virgil, I was jaw open shocked.
Yay.
Stupid, it should have been me.
And then there were two.
Girls are nerds too, bitches. I'm probably gonna go home because all I have is my associate's degree. Ooh.
Brandon, make your pick.
One person is just gonna feel horribly left out. One of us. One of us.
I wanted to punch this guy.
After Brandon poured the paint on my head, the first thing I did was turn around and hugged Alana. Maybe I'm going to get myself a little good karma for the future.
See, I thought she was sweet for doing that, but then she kind of ruined it there.
I've been using all my life. That's why I'm a nerd. Okay?
Alana, you have not been picked by either team. I know how that feels. When I was in the 5th grade through the 12th grade, no one ever picked me for anything. And it sucked. I mean, there is nothing nerdier than not getting picked. Which means you have all the power. Yeah.
What?
They got that right.
In the system.
Yeah. You are now safe from banishment.
Yeah.
And you will get to choose the winner of the nerd war.
I don't have to go home, bitches.
Like, immediately she turns.
Why do they do that? That drives me crazy. That's one of my pet peeves. I hate that.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
It's like I am so metal that I need to make growling sounds and throw the goat constantly. And just, it's like.
Why do people want to be
a fan of something with? I don't go around going, "Oh, may the force be with you."
Why do people want to be? I'm a stereotype.
Exactly, identify me as a certain type of person.
And I love, like, he's like, I like metal, and they're like the generic. So silly.
I think that's more hair metal, but. Yeah, it's just, that's really, really irritating.
Your
and
mother.
Celeste is my favorite one because
smokes troll
she's modest. That's what's wrong with geeks and nerds in general is modesty.
Everybody's
got to,
like, outdo each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Your mother smokes troll malarkey in a corn cob pipe.
Ooh, what an insult.
That's a burn.
Your mom
dated a dragon.
Such
I don't even
sauce.
Know what that means or what that implies, but it sounds bad.
You know that was I'm totally on board. I'm gonna keep watching this show.
The moment that they gave Alana all the power because she was the last picked, I'm in love. I love this show because it shows a certain amount of understanding that previous shows that have dealt with geekdom totally missed out on.
Right.
Because, you know, like that Beauty and the Geek, it was created by Ashton Kutcher and some other asshole who, you know, never had to worry about being a geek.
Right.
And they never really kind of understood geekdom. They tried to force geeks out of their geek shell instead of embracing the geekdom. And this show is, I loved that. When they gave her all that and it like turned from totally feeling horrible because you've been there a million times into the most power. It's just like, that was thoughtful. That was smart.
That was cool. And it seems like some people, they were genuinely concerned with their feelings. And I like that too. They weren't mean-spirited.
Yeah. I cannot wait for Virgil to go because he's an asshole.
I also like that they played chess to see who got kicked off the show.
And the way they played the chess.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
They like brought in like a Spartacus guy to kill the characters that were taken. I don't even know chess.
Yeah,
so.
He'd hit the pieces with a sword and they'd explode with like red confetti. Like it was
blood.
Yeah,
and they used this famous cosplay girl. I can't even remember her name, but I recognized her because of posts on Reddit.
Oh, she's famous. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Agreed?
Aye.
Her name's like Yaya Hoon or something. I got it wrong.
I like she kept like bending over as much as she could. And Curtis Armstrong, he's like,
Yaya Hoon.
Curtis Armstrong was like, I'm liking this.
And then
they're like, poor Hendrick, he got eliminated. And then he's like, remember he shot him with the laser and blew him up?
Yeah. That was silly. That was funny. Hendrick got screwed.
He did. He listened too much.
He got royally screwed because he didn't know chess at all. And that Alana's like, oh, I know chess.
And everyone else is like, what is he doing?
She's the one that should have been eliminated because she played for him.
Yeah.
That wasn't fair.
He relied on her too much.
That's why I'm a nerd. Okay.
Okay. All right, Bill, let's quickly talk about Face Off. Face Off, what is it, season 3, 4? What the hell? They cranked these out.
4, I think.
They did a Goblin King thing, and there's not much. This is a short clip. There's not much to talk about. It's Face Off again. Face Off all over again. Let's listen for Glenn Hetrick, though. I love that guy.
We're walking down the street, and we see this beautiful...
Okay, wait. I love how, like, reality shows, you know, the guy's like, I listen to heavy metal, and they're like... Okay, well, on Face Off, they go to a cathedral and listen to the music they play when they enter the cathedral. Crack me up.
We're walking down the street, and we see this beautiful cathedral. Amazing, amazing architecture. And I'm so excited. I'm thinking, what could the challenge be?
Is this playing on the speakers in there?
No, it's actually monks there chanting.
Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. Its masterpiece was built in 1925 and is one of the most recognizable examples of Gothic style architecture in the city of Los Angeles.
Gorgeous.
Now, not only are cathedrals a place of worship, but they have also historically been the place where royalty are crowned. Your first spotlight challenge will start right where we left off. You've already created a queen. Now it's time to make your king. However, this is no ordinary king. You will be making a mythical creature featured in films like The Hobbit, Labyrinth, and even the Harry Potter series. Your spotlight challenge is to create a goblin king.
I love whenever she does that, they all go, ooh.
Scary creatures, so I'm really getting excited.
Goblins are scary. I can't do this.
I want to say to all of you, I'm really blown away. The work is just exceedingly high. So well done to all of you this week. I mean that.
He does.
Michael and Troy, please step forward.
So, Troy.
Tell us what is going on with this character and whose idea was what?
He's a volcano. You know, volcanoes are generally ugly. They erupt. They leave destruction
I've
in their
seen
path.
Some pretty volcanoes.
I did all of the fabrication as far as the costuming and the top, and then I sculpted the chest piece and the shoulder.
So he's
I
handled made most of the paintwork.
I also sculpted the face.
Molten magma.
Also painted the chest piece.
All right, can you open up the coat so we can see the chest? I got to tell you something. I'm sorry to say you covered up the best part of your makeup. I think the face is just a big charred, scratchy looking thing. And this headpiece is like a clown hat. I don't think you did so well on this,
clown
guys.
Clown hat.
You have a very specific aesthetic happening, just a silhouette that feels
like a witch.
I like the staff, actually. It's pretty cool looking.
It clearly is the product arms? Of two guys dividing their labors, working apart, and then bringing it together.
It's Gimli.
Going, whoops.
It's Fala is there.
And gray. With a little bit of mishmash of yellows and crimsons.
Clown hat.
It doesn't
more
work.
Like clown shoes.
Sweet! Clown hat.
Wow. Well, that was awesome. You know, Face Off, I like the show and everything, but it's coming back too soon. I'm not interested right now.
It's way too soon. It needs like another month or two.
Yeah,
there's some very strange looking characters this year.
Dude. There's a dude with half of his head shaved. He's
That's
why is he so red?
The eyeliner and just yeah.
Why is he so red faced? Did he get sunburned?
He has rosacea.
Did you notice that the black guy is red tinted also?
Maybe it's the color scheme.
I don't know, man. It's really weird.
Sweet. Yeah, well, Glenn Hetrick's facial hair is still excellent.
Yes, it is.
And I don't think any of them quite understood what a goblin should look like. Because I saw one person had like an ent, like a tree creature.
Yeah.
The one that won was more of a troll. It was almost like a rock creature.
Bullcrap. Like,
yeah, I just didn't agree with any of their ideas of what a troll, or I mean a goblin was. See, I'm even mixing up. Look at the Hobbit. That's a goblin king.
Right. There was the one, I can't remember if the people who won was the one I liked the most. I can't remember, honestly.
I didn't like the one that won because it was too stony looking.
I think it was the runner-up that was cool.
Yeah.
They were just, they love that makeup of the rock on the face and stuff.
Yeah, that just didn't work for me at all.
Agreed?
Aye!
All right, Bill, let's quickly talk about Top Chef. They did Restaurant Wars this week, and
always the most frustrating episode of Iron Chef.
It really is. A lot of times the person who does front of house gets eliminated, and I honestly think Stefan would have had his team lost. They would have just shit-canned his ass, but luckily they won. But the problem I had, I think Kristen was one of the top talents on the show.
She, honestly, I think she is the top talent on the
show. She won like $65,000 already, something like that. I may be exaggerating. I don't know. It was in the thousands.
She's won a lot of money, and she's very talented.
This is a problem I have with the show. It's when they have a chance to get rid of something, somebody skating by, and someone who's extremely talented, they don't ever say, this person is really good and they have potential. I really want to see what this person does. Instead, they're like, no, we got to send them home.
It's a cop-out because they try to have like this moral high ground, the judges, and it doesn't really work for the situation because Kristen was incredibly humble. She fell on her sword.
She didn't want to talk bad about Josie at all.
Exactly.
And it was frustrating.
Because she didn't want drama because she knows what Josie's like.
She didn't want to play that game, and honestly, all she had to say was, and that's what was frustrating, because you could tell she was being cool about it, but it was like, Josie was taking way too long to do everything. I didn't have time to worry about that, so I had to make a snap decision, because I had to take it out of her hands. Because I didn't have time to think about it, but she was taking too long. But she didn't even say that. She goes, oh, you're right. It's my responsibility. I'll take it.
That sucks. But that's awesome. But that sucks.
So it really sucked. So let's check this out.
Well, what did we think of Urbano overall, Danny?
Urbano with the tiny O.
Urbano, dish by dish by dish, was food that I would come back and want to eat. The problem I had with Urbano is that there was some serious service and hospitality mistakes throughout. And at the end of the day, you go back to a restaurant, you don't just go back for a dish.
I think it was inconsistent in its concept. And I think Stefan missed so many opportunities to give us a great restaurant experience.
He should go home for the service he gave us today.
But Joe, you should go home
for
the
bouillabaisse.
You know, the bouillabaisse was awful. Okay. Service was awesome.
Yes. Well, it all comes down to which restaurant gave us a better dining experience. I think we need to go to judge's table to make that decision.
Sure. Let's just talk about service. I was really blown away with disappointment of how you really sort of handled the room.
How important do you think it is when a dish is delivered that someone is there to explain the dish?
It's very important.
Some of the dishes that we got, there were no explanation. Do you agree that that's poor service?
Yes, it is poor service.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because I'm a chef and not a server.
I love that you threw that in there.
I do have one question I just need cleared up. Because it seems to me that this dish of bouillabaisse kind of hinged on one thing.
Bouillabaisse.
Really would make it different, and that was the sauce. What happened with the gelatin?
I told her not to put it in.
Why did you tell her not to put it in?
We're running out of time. I wanted it in the canisters. I wanted to see it before.
She said running out of time. She should have said because she was taking too
long. The gelatin. Just
so she's too goddamn
just
slow.
Add cream. So we went with cream instead of gelatin.
And they've even seen that she's too slow.
Before this, that the intention was to put gelatin into this
so
sauce
that's why
that you
I was
made.
Asking for the gelatin. I didn't know where anything
Stop
was.
Stop saying gelatin.
Yeah.
I know you're a team and you're taking your lead from your chef.
Did you see there they wanted her to stop? To you know what you're doing? Right
I thought everything was cooked well. I thought the components looked well. I thought the broth was delicious. I was happy with the plate. You guys didn't get enough sauce. She sauced her plate. I'm sorry, you know? I mean,
at the end of the day, it was you know, my responsibility to make sure it's
my
there.
Responsibility. You know? No, but so, you know,
I take
that's
some
how it
I take
goes.
Most of the responsibility because it was you know, a dish that I had conceived and you know, I saw it last before it went out to you.
She may have conceived
everything,
it, but she didn't execute it.
From the idea to the method of prep,
right.
Or whether it was good or bad or whatever, it stemmed from my responsibility. And again, I take blame for that. I take blame for a lot of things, most things.
Oh, stop!
Stop! You're digging a hole.
You're taking responsibility here. You're falling on your sword.
You know,
I had to hide my
again,
eyes at this
I made
part.
Executional yeah. errors today. And so did some other people. It's just
that girl Brooke should have stuck up for her and said, "Josie screwed everything up."
But, yeah.
Thank you. That'll be all for now.
Wow,
that was painful to even
Ready.
Hear again. That's really painful.
Fire.
Yeah, well, it sucked, man.
She just sounds so defeated. Like she feels like she's already lost. So she just kept going. She just kept going.
She should have just said, "Oh, just forget it. Who cares?"
That would have been perfect.
She should have said, "Wee,
sweet."
No, you know what she should have said?
I hate that.
Now, Bill, we've already kind of talked about Fringe. I just want to say that I'm really excited about the finale. Can't wait to watch it.
Yeah.
Love the show. We've
loved
talked
The Observer, September, Donald, Michael? Is that the little dude?
Yes,
abnormality,
Michael. Fringe is one of the shows we covered Fringe from episode one, the pilot episode. We covered the whole run, man, five seasons. And I love the show, and I'm going to be sad to see it go. And
I am going to be sad to see it go, but I'm glad it's going out on its own terms.
I'm so, you know, this same thing happened to Chuck where NBC said, we'll give you one final season to say goodbye. They did the same thing with Fringe, and I love that. You, the same thing, Bill, Friday Night Lights. They gave it a final fifth season.
Yep.
Or was it? Yeah, it was a fifth season, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they said, close this puppy out.
Was
and they did.
They said, okay, we can We can co-finance this with DirecTV, and they gave him a chance. And it ended. It's one of the best endings on television, honestly.
Yeah.
And I'm not blowing that. I'm not hyping it at all. It was satisfying.
Great. Let's break out some champagne. This is going to be fantastic.
Nice.
But I'm glad when this happens to a show we love. I really am. And I'm excited to the last episode was really good. You know, where you see the September is now has hair. His powers have been taken from him.
The emotions, the connection with Michael, the connection with Walter.
You know what
like,
I loved?
I mean, it's just so good.
And
that they're giving that actor a chance to shine.
Right. And I loved when he talked about where the observers come from, and they showed the fetus like growing in the tank as he's talking. That was sweet stuff, man.
That was
pretty sweet. And I actually have a clip here where he explains what Michael is. And
awesome.
Let's go ahead and check this out, and we'll say farewell. No, we won't. The next show we do, we'll say farewell.
I almost feel like we should do just a Fringe show.
I know. All right, and we got to have Steven here for when we talk about the final.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, let's check this out.
So how does he fit into the plan?
They were right about him. He is an anomaly. He's not less than them. He's more. At first, I thought his abilities were just empathic.
But
they developed
into
something greater. I now know that his intellect functions on a level that neither you nor we are capable of understanding.
Oh, great. Maybe as a sweet boy.
He has the emotions, the compassion, the empathy.
A hybrid.
Yes. That moment that I told you about, when scientists first decided to sacrifice human emotion
to increase intelligence. That was the turning point in human evolution.
28th of February, 2167.
If we can send the boy into the future, to that moment, he can demonstrate to their scientists
they do
different kind
flux
of intelligence
capacitor
and enlightenment that goes beyond knowledge or cognition to something greater. And when they see what he is, when they study him, they will realize all that he is. Living proof that they don't have to sacrifice emotion for intelligence. And they will never go down that path.
And the observers will never exist. They will never invade.
That was the plan we were working on before I ambered us.
I always knew the boy was important, but when I realized why, what he was supposed to do, my device had been removed. I'd lost the ability to move through time. So I came to you.
Who goes the dynamite?
That was the plan. We were going to send the boy forward into time.
So I can't wait to see how they do that, because I have no clue how they're going to do it.
Yeah, and they capture, or Michael actually gives himself up at the end of the last episode. So how is the plan going to complete itself? I cannot wait. The moment we're done with the show, I don't care how tired I am, I'm going upstairs and I'm watching Fringe.
Right. I wish I could. I know I will sometime soon.
Well, I'll make sure I keep my mouth shut. I won't even mention it to you.
Hey, baby,
just
do you mind? I'm trying
off
to do
Twitter.
Show. Yeah, I am big time. You know, one regret I have of this season is that I really love the character of Olivia. They did not give her enough to do this season.
No,
and I hope they give her a lot to do in the final two episodes.
It's like I said, they spent too much time trying to develop a new era and a new character with Henrietta, and not enough time concentrating on the characters we grew to love.
Right. She's a very important character to this show, and I want to...
She is, but in the grand scheme of things, she means nothing if they reboot the timeline, because then they won't know that she died. They won't know that, you know, any of that stuff.
That's very tricky when you do something like that.
Yeah.
Like, you run the risk of everything getting screwed up. But hopefully... We'll see what happens. I'm not going to even guess.
Yeah. I'm not even paying attention to what I was unsatisfied with earlier, because I have a feeling they're on the right track now.
Yeah. I'm scared.
Well, don't be scared. It'll be good.
Like a clown hat.
Mm. I'm scared like a clown hat, Bill.
Yeah, I'm scared like clown shoes.
All right, Bill, let's do some news. What do you say?
All right, let's do them.
This isn't the longest show we've ever done.
It isn't?
Not yet.
Okay, we're getting close.
All right, let's do some
My
news!
My throat is killing me.
Oh, no. Okay, just a little whisper. Just do that. News.
The news with Mulberry Bill.
Well, that was sweet.
That's nice. Thanks, Steve.
Robot Steven is my name.
Okay. All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
I can't wait to hear Robo Steven try to sing the DVD song.
Oh, that's going to be a disaster.
Oh, boy. That's good. All right, starting off with in the Seattle area, the Puyallup Police Department is looking for the man who allegedly robbed a convenience store while armed with a knife and decked out in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles pajamas.
That is awesome!
Yeah. According to the Tacoma Pierce County Crime Stoppers...
Mutant guy.
Yes, the man entered the 7-Eleven in the 900 block of South Meridian shortly before 2 a.m., jumped onto the counter and demanded cash. I thought maybe he'd demand pizza.
Mmm.
After getting his money, the masked man hightailed it out of there in his Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles pajamas, according to Crime Stoppers. No word yet on if the robbery could be the work of the notorious Foot Clan.
Ooh, ninja star to the head!
Does it really say that?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yep. Wow.
I don't know why they're not looking in the sewers.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, anyone who's ordering Domino's Pizza to the sewer, you got to check that out. I'm pretty sure that's...
exactly. Just start calling pizza places, see if they're making any deliveries to sewer grates.
I'm sorry. I'm just looking at you. That's funny to me. Sorry.
I miss Eddie Murphy. I wish he did good movies again.
I know.
All right, let's move on. I have no idea where this is, and I'm not going to try to find out where. Two strippers at an adult entertainment club in Juneau, Wisconsin, got into a fight after one of the strippers claimed a dollar bill offered by a customer was rightfully earned by her and not the other dancer.
Well, how many dancers do they have up the stage?
Apparently too many.
The strippers even.
The unidentified strippers, ages 19
and
23, were cited for disorderly conduct after the fight at Silk Exotic Juno Gentlemen's Club.
In between your pool parties in L.A., you know, or your casting sessions with the strippers.
I was surprised by this, as we seldom receive calls for service from this business, Sheriff Todd Neal said. This is a rare exception. Deputies were sent to the club about 9:30 p.m. Wow, early night. Two dancers got into a physical fight on stage over $1. I would have started throwing more dollars. Cat fight! Metal!
Yeah, no kidding.
That's jump chain!
Yeah, I would have thrown some quarters up there on the stage.
I would have started pelting them with quarters. A customer was trying to give the dollar to one of the dancers, but the other took exception and felt she had earned it. According to the news release, the strippers punched and slapped each other. Some hair was pulled out before other dancers and customers broke up the fight. Aw.
I'm going to club you like a baby seal.
Yes, that was what was said before the fight started. I used to really like Overstock.com. It was a great website to do shopping on because the discounted stuff.
Are you doing a commercial right now? It's like you just went into a commercial.
No, this is the next story. I'm sorry.
That thing. Very mature.
But I used to buy my sheets. You could get like 1,200 thread count sheets for like $60. Now that's
nice.
That's a thing of the past now. Now they're like 180. But the CEO of Overstock.com was arrested this week at Salt Lake City International Airport for allegedly carrying a loaded firearm during a routine screening of carry-on luggage. He was one of four people arrested, although he denied knowing about the handgun, a loaded Glock 23 40 cal. Charging documents said the gun contained 12 rounds, although none was chambered. The federal security director, Vera Adams, said they didn't believe there was malicious intent, calling them an issue of awareness and making sure they know what they cannot travel with in their carry-on luggage. If you're traveling, don't travel with a gun.
Yeah, why does that keep happening?
You know, does he? I automatically question, does he think he's above the law or is he just an idiot?
Morons.
Yeah. All right. This is embarrassing for the Navy. And the minesweeper crew is really kind of one of the elite crews. You know, you gotta sweep the ocean for mines. So, well, the U.S. Navy evacuated all 79 crew members of a minesweeper that ran aground Thursday. So if you're echoing, like, radar at the bottom looking for mines and you run aground, you don't have exactly the best crew on ship.
Mines!
Yeah, it happens.
So what, it's a minesweeper?
Yeah, it looks for mines that have been laid, I guess, currently or even in, you know, earlier wars. Because this was around a reef around the Philippines, so it could have been from, you know, maybe they're looking for mines from World War II. Yes, mines.
Mines.
The plural of mine. I got it.
The only reason I did this story right there on the
What, the one about mines?
Yes.
Mines.
Ah.
The 224-foot-long, 1,312-ton ship was on its way to the Subic Bay to its next port of call when it struck the Tabatha Reef about 80 miles east-southeast of Palawan Island in the Sulu Sea. Sulu, Sulu.
Nice.
Let's do the Sulu dance. Initial efforts to free the Adventure-class mine countermeasure ship at high tide were unsuccessful. Yep, they had to abandon ship. We've run aground, Captain. All right.
I consider it like a margin of error decision.
Man, my throat.
I'm sorry. Get some warm tea.
How about cold coffee? Oh. That's making it worse.
We are not happy. Who is in
what
charge
is his
of
name?
You?
Who can I write
Who
to?
Who can we write to? I have.
Bless you.
Okay. That cleared it out. There we go. Did I have my mic muted for that? I hope so.
Yes.
Jaw open shock.
All right. A Woodford police say man was too drunk to pull off an attempted robbery.
He just didn't make it, huh?
No. A Woodford County man tried to hold up a local pizza place Thursday, but failed because police say he was too drunk.
Crazy drunk driver.
Of all the pizza places to hold up when you're drunk, do not go to Little Caesars.
Yeah, no shit.
They are not going to have that much money, because don't they have, isn't it like $5 hot and ready?
Yeah.
Obviously.
And that's all they make. That shitty pizza that they use the worst combination of cheese ever. And
Little
they're just,
Caesar sucks.
They just sit there all night long under heat lamps. No He's one's drunk, going yeah. there to buy that shit.
Yeah.
You don't. Obviously, this guy was drunk because he wasn't in his right mind.
Now, back off and let me pee.
Wearing a ski mask and sunglasses, police say 25-year-old Ryan Hopkins stumbled into the Little Caesars in Versailles and with the intent to steal. An employee told the news station the man walked in before the restaurant had opened, smelling of alcohol, appeared extremely intoxicated. The employee said Hopkins said, "This is a holdup." So, while badly slurring his speech, the employee asked him to leave the premises, and Hopkins walked out. He's an agreeable drunk.
We do not need some hot pizza.
There you go. So, I guess, you know, he left and decided to get arrested.
How is this okay?
It's not.
All right, should we do one more story? Yeah, let's do one more story.
I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do.
On Gawker, there was an interesting article about civil rights. And Mississippi, they did a thing about how they will arrest people for anything, including school kids that fart.
I had to put my tail between my legs.
Kids that fart?
Yes. In August...
God damn, dude.
You're under arrest.
This is from the New York Times. They did a whole article about the justice, the juvenile criminal system, justice, all that stuff in Mississippi. And it says, in August, the Justice Department released a letter of findings charging that the police in Meridian County routinely arrested children at schools without probable cause merely on the referral of school personnel. The letter found that students had been incarcerated for dress code violations, flatulence, profanity, and disrespect.
I have to fart!
To jail with you, you Irish bastard!
I'm really blown away.
Yeah. So, Mississippi, goddamn, dude.
Baby, what are you doing? I'm doing a show. You can't start whining. She wants me to pet her.
Oh, we're almost done. Webster's totally knocked out on the recliner behind me.
Let's see if I can. If I turn my back, she starts whining. So let's see if we hear it.
Oh.
Did you hear that?
Oh, baby, it's okay, sweetie. He's right there. He's not going anywhere.
Neither you nor we are capable of understanding.
No, I mean, she's a beagle.
Yeah, poor little beagle.
you know what you need, and that's you need one of those. It's not a choker collar. It's actually got prongs on it, and it simulates the mother like kind of grabbing on the back of their neck whenever you tug on it, and that's how you correct them, and they never do that shit again. Like, you just tug it like no, and that's
baby.
It. They learn.
Why did the beagle cross the road? To sniff something on the other side. Aw, she loved that. Thinks it's hilarious.
That's their actual laugh.
Never get a beagle to laugh. They never stop.
No, they don't. It just goes on until a yellow bird stops them.
I am a complete bitch.
Well, she is a female dog.
She is. And that's news for this week.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week.
It's ridiculous.
It is. No farting in Mississippi.
Well, Bill, let's do some DVDs real quick. Woohoo! Ow! Let's do the DVDs. Let's do the DVDs. Let's do the DVDs. HD Blu-ray standard definition.
DVDs.
What the
DVDs?
You gotta put it in DVDs.
Put what in, Bill? It's a robot.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, the robot hasn't been programmed properly.
Yes. DVDs.
DVD.
There you go.
All right, Bill, that was horrible. Just give me
a
second.
That's a phonetic robot.
Okay, here we go. Ready?
Ow!
Let's do the DVDs. Let's do the DVDs. Let's do the DVDs. DVDs! DVDs!
DVD.
DVDs! HD Blu-ray standard definition! DVDs! DVDs, everyone! Oh my god, that was horrible.
Better transgendered Robo Steven.
DVDs! There we go. Yeah! Bring the head! Wake the dead!
My god, you didn't just go there.
Bring your head! I need some mental health, Bill.
Mental health, yes.
Yeah. Ooh. All right, Bill, what DVDs do we have this week?
All right, starting off with an actual DVD, Chris Hardwick, Mandroid. Man, he is milking this I'm a Geek and a Comedian for all it's worth.
Wait, what is his last name again?
Hardwick.
Hard penis.
Yeah. No,
you're being too literal, Stephen Bott. That's not what he's saying.
They don't have that ability to discern, like, you know, names.
Flaccid.
But yeah.
What? So what is Mandroid?
Did you just say flaccid?
Yes.
So get this. I'm reading the back of the DVD, and this is just... This is why I can't stand Chris Hardwick.
Nerd.
The nerdist himself. Chris Hardwick celebrates all things nerdy in his first Comedy Central special. Hipsters beware. There's no irony in Chris's affinity for Captain Picard, Comic Con, and the Atari 2600.
That's why I'm a nerd. Okay?
Stop! Just stop the madness.
It's his brand, right?
Yeah, this branding shit is just too much. It's too much. I love my Atari 2600. I paid nearly $200 to have it modded so I can hook it up to my HDTV and play my Atari 2600 cartridges in pristine quality. But I don't talk about it constantly on the show. It's just... It's this like, I'm a geek, look at me, look at me, look at me. Like, I am going to pander to every geek possible to make money, and it drives me crazy. Maybe it drives me crazy because we don't do it. But
what are you looking at, nerd? Huh?
It gets to be too much. Like, I can't listen to The Nerdist because of that reason. He grates on my nerves.
The thing is, they get such incredible guests on that show.
I know, and it's because
incredible.
They have huge numbers because it's like, I don't know. I feel bad for the geek audience because they are so desperate for people like them that they gravitate towards this stuff, and it just becomes too much.
Agreed?
Aye.
Yeah, I just...
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like, you know, he hosts that Walking Dead show.
Yeah.
The Talking Dead. And I think he's too enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, where it's phony. It
comes off to me as phony. Yes, you're right.
Yes. That's what drives me crazy. It's this phony pandering. Like, he could be totally genuine, but just his enthusiasm comes across as phony. Like,
it's
no
ridiculous.
No one can be as enthusiastic about Doctor Who as he is. I bet you if you asked him a question about the early Doctor Who episodes, he wouldn't know what the F you're talking about. But because he's so enthusiastic about it, everyone identifies him as like the Doctor Who expert. He gets Stephen Moffat on. He gets Karen Gillian and Rory Carmichael and all these people that star on Matt Smith, who
right.
all star
he
on
did
the
a
current
Doctor Who special,
incarnation.
Didn't he?
Yeah. And it's just it comes across so freaking phony.
You're
like,
not
why
fall
can't
for the banana in the tailpipe?
Nerds or geeks were always geeks because they liked things that weren't mainstream, and his brand is to make it mainstream and make everyone love it for that. And I don't like it. I like it being mine. Personally, you know, geeky, introverted mind.
You know, one thing that another person that's playing off the nerd thing, but I like how they're doing is Zachary Levi has the Nerd Machine,
mm-hmm.
and he does like an alternate Comic-Con, like at the same time as Comic-Con in his own venue.
Yeah, like Nerd HQ or something.
Yeah, and what he'll do is he will get all these, he did a Firefly cast mm-hmm. discussion where he had them there, or he did the cast of Psych. He does the cast of shows, and people donate money to charity, and it all goes to charity.
See, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. There's no profiting off of it. It's just
right.
for fan. See, that I can get behind. See, I didn't know that. I wasn't a real big fan of that whole Nerd Machine thing until you just said that. The fact that this is I always questioned his nerdy quality.
Yeah.
Like I didn't he just seemed too prim and proper to be a nerd.
He's a real extremely nice guy, and he's doing it all for charity, and it's really
cool. That's awesome.
They're doing it for fun too, but you know, all any friends he has are like, he did a whole Chuck cast get together after the show ended, and you know, has all the people there. They answer all their everyone's inane questions, and then they have an autograph session, but it all goes to charity. It's really cool that they do that.
That's very cool.
The thing is, the stuff with Chris Hardwick or whatever, it starts to get embarrassing.
It does. You know? Well, you know what? There was a show on Showtime. Paul Prevenza, this comedian, would sit down with other comedians, and they would talk. And Chris Hardwick was on a show that Paul Prevenza did in London. And it had Eddie Izzard and this other comedian, I can't remember his name, but I want to call him like a Russell Brand kind of character. He has the eyeliner and all that. It's terrible that I can't remember his name.
I know, he's got real messy hair and he's always barefoot.
Yes.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
He might even be Australian.
Yeah.
In fact, I think he is Australian.
He does everything at the piano.
Yes.
How is this okay?
What is his name? It's going to drive me crazy. I got to look
it
up. I'm sorry.
Smokes troll malarkey
Tim
in a corncob pipe.
That's
yes,
right.
Tim Minchin. He was on there, and then the other comedian. Oh, my God. My brain just isn't working well. But
seconds.
He's the guy that's really dry, really sarcastic, kind of prim and proper looking. Can't remember his name for the life of me. And Eddie Izzard was on there, and Chris Hardwick. And you have these three seasoned, hilarious comedians, and Chris Hardwick. And Chris Hardwick was so in over his head and trying to be so topical and interesting and funny that it just came off desperate.
Sweet!
And that epitomizes Chris Hardwick for me.
Right.
Like, he is so desperate to appeal to a certain type of crowd that he will pander to them specifically in the broadest sense. And that's what the Nerdist is to me right now.
I'm actually not really a fan of this.
Yeah, so that's just my complaint. Well, let's move on with DVDs because the
totally
show's getting
it,
way
though.
Too long.
I get it.
Yeah, okay. I just was hoping somebody would. Like, because I feel like I'm missing something, or it's just, I don't feel I am. All right, so moving on, Death Race 3 Inferno. Apparently they made two more. This is the third one, straight to DVD, obviously.
If I said that I wasn't scared to death right now, I'd be lying.
Hey, man, Ving Rhames and Danny Trejo have to get paid.
Ving Rhames and Danny Trejo. Dude, Danny Trejo or Trejo or whatever.
Trejo.
Dude, he'll be in any movie.
It will be paycheck. He's in it.
His intellect functions on a level that neither you nor we are capable of understanding.
I tried to sit through Machete, but I couldn't. I was like, get it. It's a joke or whatever, but I've lost interest.
Honestly, I couldn't sit through the Grindhouse films that these films
really
are trying
excited to
emulate. Like, they were bad and in shitty theaters for a reason. Like, you can appreciate them all you want, but they were bad. Moving on, we have End of Watch. This is the Jake Gyllenhaal, Michael Pena film that David Ayer directed.
Dude,
it's kind of
really
like a.
I wanted to see that.
Yeah, it's kind of like a. It's not a found footage film. It's more of a in the middle of it film.
I thought it was found footage.
No, it's not found footage. It's just shot like there's a camera crew with them in real time.
Oh, I know what you mean. That's called.
Cinema Verite.
Yeah, Cinema Verite.
There you go.
Dumping a mixture of
got really
what
good
must have been cornstarch and water and food dye over my head, signifying that I was to join the team.
We're not talking about that, dude.
This next movie shocks me that it's on Blu-ray because I saw it advertised in the theater. I saw a trailer for it months ago when I went to see it, and it never showed up. It's a film called For a Good Time Call.
And
it's these two roommates, and one of them is a sex line operator.
And, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That does look funny.
Yeah, and it's on Blu-ray. Here you go.
I saw a trailer for it on the Jaws Blu-ray. Steven loaned it to me.
Okay.
And the Jaws Blu-ray has this weird thing. Like, if your Blu-ray, like, I watch it through PS3, which is connected to the internet.
It pulls the trailers down.
Every time you put the disc in, it's a different trailer. It's like magic.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's also really annoying whenever you just want to
really
get to the movie.
You can't skip over any of it.
No.
It's
you can
not
hit top menu, you can hit pop-up menu, you can
it gives that no symbol when you try to do it.
Yep. It's so bad. Already on Blu-ray, and you know what? Peter Travers loves it, so...
Oh, I love that Pete Travers.
Man, he is such a whore.
He's worked at Rolling Stone for my entire life, I think.
Yeah. At what point does Jan Winter realize that Peter Travers just says things to get on the covers of posters? And
I can still remember reading this long-ass article about Heathers, that movie, in the high school library... About Heathers, that I think it was written by Pete Travers. That dude has been around forever.
I think he's been around longer at this point than Dick Clark was.
Like a clown hat.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, clown hats forever. Next Blu-ray is a film by Takashi Mike.
Takashi Mike!
Called Harakiri, Death of a Samurai. I've been wanting to see this. I was going to import it, but I just don't have the money to do that sort of shit anymore, where I would just import things I wanted to watch. So I'm glad to see this is on Blu-ray now.
Great samurai killed when they have to.
And you still haven't seen his last film, 13 Assassins, which has such a great build-up and such an awesome finale.
Oh, I want to see it because I've never seen a Takashi Mike movie, but I love his name.
Yeah, so he has a great name. And I would stick with, 13 Assassins because his other movies are freaky.
Dude, I take it back. I've seen enough of that movie Audition to freak me out and change the channel.
Ready!
I don't even like to talk about Audition.
Fire!
Well, it's like I started watching it and it was like...
It is the exact opposite of that.
The Audition! Whee!
Keep your piano wire to yourself.
Thank you. Oh my god. And it's
all right. Next Blu-ray is a release from Shout Factory, or should I say Scream Factory?
Huh?
The 80s. Yeah, they have a division now that just releases cheesy 80s horror films. Scream Factory, and it's a release of the 1988 film The Nest.
The Nest?
Yeah, and I think it's about giant cockroaches.
Yikes. And
it has one one of the greatest cover arts.
Cockroach.
It is pure 80s, exploitation. A girl in her underwear, bra, huge boobs, and this giant cockroach on top of her.
Like a cockroach.
I would love to hear it covered on of What's Your Damage.
They should. They should do that. You know what, that podcast, What's Your Damage? I keep thinking of movies I want them to do, but I don't want to be annoying.
You
so.
Don't want to send another email and have it lost or ignored.
Because I asked him, I said, do you guys have a big list of movies? He was like, yes. And I go, okay, I won't send them a list.
Yeah, you know how many people probably give them suggestions on Twitter and on forums? And
well, the worst thing is if they watch a movie finally that you're like, ooh, and they're like, I don't see why people like this. You're like, what?
Yeah, yeah. I had that discussion with my dog's trainer this week about the
Clown
Goonies.
Hat.
She was like, what? And I was like, no, I love Goonies. Don't get me wrong, but it sucks.
It's true that I love Goonies too. It holds a place in my heart.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say it's a great movie or anything.
No, it's not. In fact, it's pretty mediocre to bad at this point.
Goonies.
Yeah. There you go. You can pronounce that. You're getting better.
But it's did a Nim movie mini everyone should check out of Goonies.
Yes.
Because we love the movie, don't get us wrong. Yes, but we're not going to lie and say it's a great movie or anything.
We can't lie to your face. All right, next Blu-ray is a film called The Paperboy, and it has Nicole Kidman, I believe, seducing Zac Efron, or maybe Zac Efron seducing Nicole Kidman. I don't know.
Bullcrap.
But it also has John Cusack and... Matthew McConaughey. Ooh. But he is not naked and he does not play bongos in it.
Aww.
Yeah.
All right.
3D Blu-ray called Pina. P-I-N-A. And it's this dance
Pina Colada?
Yes, it's like that, but without the colada. And it's this German modern dance lady, Pina Bausch. Who worked with Wim Wenders, and the 3D is supposedly stunning in this.
Hey,
and
man, let's pee!
It's actually the Criterion Collection's first 3D Blu-ray.
Bill, didn't you know it's Wim Wenders?
I'm sorry, Wim Wenders.
Because I think he's a pretentious bastard, and that's why
I always do that. I just always say Wim Wenders because I think it's goofy.
How do you pronounce Jim Jarmusch?
What is that other director's name? Tom Tweaker? I always call him Tom Tweaker.
Yeah.
It's goofy.
Oh my God.
I know it's
oh my
disrespectful
God.
In a way, but I just never pronounce their names right. It's half on purpose, half on not. All right, and finally, last Blu-ray, last DVD. I can't believe they're continuing to make these, but I hear nothing but good. Universal Soldier, Day of Reckoning. With directed and written by John Hyams.
Whee! Yay!
I really, I mean, I hate to admit it, but I enjoyed the last Universal Soldier film that took place in Chernobyl.
Bring the space gun. We're out of here.
It was goofy and it was stupid, but it was really well done. Van Damme was fantastic. Dolph Lundgren was fantastic.
One of the websites I go to, is it the robot? What is it?
Topless Robot?
Topless Robot. They said the movie was great.
Yeah, I think for some reason they know what they're doing now, or John Hyams at least knows what he's doing.
Is that
with
Peter
the Universal
Hyams' brother
franchise?
Is that Peter Hyams' brother by any chance?
It is.
That's sweet.
You go in pieces, asshole.
You know what? He was on the Radio Dan show this week.
He was. Radio Dan gets some good people on there. I think he blackmails their publicists.
I am a complete bitch.
Don't say that.
No, Radio Dan, that's cool that he does that. And,
yeah, he does. Yeah, it's great.
There was never mind. I don't want to go off
ahead
on a change. No, he interviewed somebody. Oh, it was Alan Thicke. I loved his Alan Thicke interview, except he started having phone problems. Alan Thicke did.
Oh,
he was on his cell phone, and he was in traffic, and it was so awkward. And I was having a good time. I was laughing, good old times. And then guess who calls? Antibac. And
No.
Radio Dan.
And he started giving Dan a hard time about his guest or whatever. And I go, off. I had to turn it off.
Yeah.
Radio Death.
Just talk to Robbie Rist. Just leave it alone. He's the John Hyams is the son of Peter Hyams.
What is an intubert?
Yeah, no one quite knows yet. They're studying it in a lab in Waterbury, Connecticut, and they haven't figured it out yet.
Like a clown hat.
Live from Waterbury, Connecticut.
It is just like a clown hat, isn't it?
Huh?
It's like a clown hat.
It is. He is a clown hat.
I don't even know what it means.
Yeah, and that's DVDs for this week. I'm exhausted.
Do you want me to horrify you for a second, Bill?
No! God, if you play something from Antibird, I will kick your ass through Skype.
It's just this.
Oh.
No!
I can't believe that
Buddy Velastro failed.
Dude, there was a one time... We did it twice. We filled
in. He hosted the live test show.
We were the live test show once.
And we had more listeners.
I am a complete bitch.
It was a funny episode, too. It was a freaking train wreck.
Oh, was that the one that Credo called in?
Yes, Credo.
That was like our first exposure to Credo. And
Credo saved us by calling in.
Because we just laughed at how bad his answers were.
Well, Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs this week.
You're welcome. This show is 4.5 hours long.
Bullcrap! We're gonna do this like men and beat the hell out of each other.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try to feel and
scene.
Smokes troll malarkey in a corn cob pipe.
I'm gonna club you like a baby seal.
He should after that.
That's a bad one.
Well, everyone,
troll
that was
malarkey's
episode
the worst.
Bill, episode 268 of the Nowhere Mulberry Show.
So close.
I'd like everyone to take the time to leave us some feedback on the Nowhere Mulberry Fan Club or Twitter, or go to Nowhere Mulberry. NimPodcast@gmail.com is our email.
Are we going to have to change that?
Also, no, we're not. A lot of people have questions about stuff like that. No, it all stayed the same. Our voicemail is 1-206-984-4943. I know it's completely like someone. Luckily, Sean sent a voicemail, and I was like, "Oh God, it didn't reset." Because after 30 days, it resets, and you lose the number. But thank you guys for donating once again. If you haven't got the NIM Holiday Pack, there's still time to get it, man.
And there is. Don't give up.
If anyone wants any of the older episodes, just tell me. You know, those are available too.
Yeah. Donate and get whatever you want. Just donate.
Donate. It goes to paying for life, you know?
Yeah, it really does. And it helps. Thank you.
I will take the flat screen TVs.
Yeah. Me too.
It plays for the flat screens? No, it doesn't really.
That's... No, it doesn't.
You know what was funny is the last, I don't know, last 10 Christmases, I was always doing the looking for a new TV for Black Friday. Yeah. This is the first time where I stayed away from all that shit because I just didn't want to look.
And yeah, I'm now in that, do I go for the TV that is now available or the seat? Because I need a TV desperately.
Desperately. Oh, man.
I'm so tired of the rear projection monster in my living room.
But everyone, thank you for listening to the show. We love you very much. Thank you for supporting us. I hope you got all the way to this part of the show.
Yeah, and I'm sorry for being so heavy. I don't know what drew that out of me this week.
That's all right, man.
The whole therapy session. I don't know what's going on
this
there.
This show is therapy, and I'm here for you, Bill, and I'm sure our listeners are too. And,
thank you, man.
So is Nimbot. A.K.A. Transgender Steven. Transgender Robot Steven. It's actually our Nimbot, but
still trying to wrap my mind around that.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Nimbot.
Oh, goodbye, Nimbot Steven, Transgender Steven. There's just too much plot here. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm confused.
But, man, we'll see you guys next time, all right? Woohoo! I got nothing. Laters. See you later, Bill.
Good night. Bye.
I don't have to go home, bitches.
Functions on a level that neither you nor we are capable of understanding.